The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy.
And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting closer to the draft. Next Thursday. Not this Thursday. Next Thursday, as opposed to the one coming up. It starts at 8 o'clock, round one, Thursday night, round two and three on Friday, and then it wraps up on Saturday. So we're all excited. I know Andy just got in the mail his Mel Kiper draft book. I got my R-Lads today. So we are all set. Paul just goes with his memory. He doesn't need a guide because he watched every college football game on TV last fall, so he doesn't need anything.
I am guilty of that. I do too much on just memory of games that I saw.
So,
but I'm still coming down from the high of talking to Drew.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Right. We got a lot to talk about because Drew Bledsoe had a rare post-career talk with the New England media. Bill Parcells did the same thing. Bill Belichick was on Sirius Radio. I don't know why, but he was. No. he was on there to talk about the draft with Sirius. And fortunately, a lot of people listened, so we know what he said. And it's some interesting stuff, real interesting stuff. So we're going to talk about that as well as the draft itself. Mediations continue today in Minneapolis. Don't know what's going to happen there. Nothing today, I'm sure, but it's just good that they're in the same room. Damore Smith is not there. I guess he had some type of family emergency that he had to attend to, so he is not there. But Mike Vrabel is, so, you know, lock up the beer cabinet.
I knew that was coming. I didn't want to step on it. I knew it was coming.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Andy's here. Paul's here. I'm here. Kevin's here. Where's Eric?
Vacation.
He will not be by later.
He's on vacation.
He might be not here.
Where'd he go?
I don't know.
What far corner of the globe?
I think
did he
nothing.
Go?
I think just
Provincetown.
Oh.
He didn't do egg pipe?
No, I think
no trip
he put that towards his lockout fund.
Oh.
I think he saved his vacation money just in case he's out of work at any point.
Well, it might happen whether or not there's a lockout.
I hate smart, cerebral guys like that. Did you mention the schedule coming out today?
Schedule comes out at 7 o'clock on Patriots.com and NFL Network. So,
so we'll focus on probably the last 12 games and not the first four, which may or may not happen.
I think there'll be a full season. And
you think the league would do that, would put bad games early just in case?
If they do that, then that's going to be pretty obvious.
But you can't do that.
No, but not you can't so much that it's obvious. But do you think they said, don't put Patriots-Colts in the first month? Even though it's always in November, just really make sure
this
year.
No, but I think that if they had a lockout-shortened season, they would have a completely new schedule. They wouldn't take the existing schedule and cut out the games. They would rejigger the whole thing.
Is that what they do?
They'd have to because the AFC East teams would have to still be played. Games would have to be played.
Well, what did they do in 82?
They haven't done that.
I know it was a long time ago, but they played a short schedule. I thought they just picked it up where
you raise an interesting point, though, Fred. Maybe they would do that. But in the past, they haven't. I mean, like,
and plus, all the games are late now. They're division games, so that you'd get some
if they're lost games. They're lost games. I mean, in 82, they only played 9, and in 87, they only missed 1 because they played the replacement games, Scabbies, which I think was worse.
Was the network deal as big as it is now then?
No, God,
I mean,
no.
Even relatively wise?
No.
Yeah, see, and I think that's the networks would demand that.
But if you are you losing games or not?
I don't know.
No, I'm under this hypothetical.
Well, if
he just pulled a me there.
What do you mean by losing games?
If the lockout cost you games, we're suggesting that instead of playing 16, they only play 12.
Right.
Well, the networks, they're losing the 4 games. They're losing 4 weeks of games.
But you're going to totally reconfigure it to make sure that you lose Patriots Bills and not Patriots Jets or whatever? I mean,
I guess would be interesting. Now, the Jets, the Patriots have played the Jets.
The Bills wouldn't
in
have
September.
To play anybody. They wouldn't be on anybody's schedule.
Well, Panthers, Bills, take the year off.
I don't think you can do that because
it's not fair.
You never have an entire week of all duds.
Right.
You know, there
are some
good games.
No, he's saying, like, totally redo the schedule.
Yeah, I don't think they can. I don't think they would do that.
It doesn't seem right.
But it's interesting that he brought it up.
Sniff test? That doesn't pass it.
When was the last time the Patriots and Jets didn't play in September?
I don't know.
I mean, you go at least the last, what, four years anyway, right?
Yeah.
The first Randy Moss game in 07. And then it always seems like that's the first road game we're playing in the Meadowlands.
I would.
If all of a sudden the Jets aren't on the schedule in September, Andy, maybe that lends credence
and
to your theory.
I'm assuming people are going to do that. Read into it.
Oh,
if there's some sort of lockout message.
I know they
one
will.
One way or the other.
Well, James from Brisbane writes in. He says, first, hey, guys, Eric, I'm curious as how the no anger for Lent thing is going. Well, Eric's not here. So
this will be a good week for him. He won't get angry at us.
We'll find out next week. But he says, just a quick question. With the schedule being released tonight, do you have any preference as to who we open up with, when and where our primetime games are, and who they are against, and any other general preferences about the team schedule? My biggest one is we actually get all the games in and played when they're meant to be. Would also love the Jets or Dolphins at home in December on primetime.
I'd like all the primetime games to be home.
Yeah. I'd like the primetime games to be at 1 o'clock.
Well, yeah, done. We're going to get a lot. You know, what is the limit, 5, 6?
6.
We'll probably get the limit like we always seem to.
As long as we don't play on Christmas.
I guess if I had a preference, I would want more of them to be at home than on the road.
I'd like game one to be against the Jets. I want to get that out of my system right away.
It's not going to be.
No?
I believe Bert Breer tweeted Jets-Giants play this year. September 11th is a Sunday night.
That's the opening weekend.
Sunday night football opening anniversary of September 11th.
So they've released the primetime games?
No, he just said near 100%. Or so. He's clearly hearing that Jets-Giants, September 11th, primetime, New York.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I think that makes sense.
He's literally going to bitch about that.
He's mad?
I'm mad.
It's the 10th anniversary, too, right?
I mean, mad, baby.
And you're going to bitch about it.
10th anniversary of what?
September 11th. Isn't it?
So we're celebrating it with a football game?
I mean,
what does that have to do with anything?
New York.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is a guy. Well, I can't really chicken parm. I can't really argue with Fred here because I don't think he was a big fan of it. But this is a league that is actually having the Super Bowl there to commemorate 9/11. They can't have a football game there on opening night?
I don't know. I don't think the way to commemorate September 11th is with a football game.
With the city's two teams and everything?
It's kind of a somber occasion, don't you think?
See, I agree with you, but they've
done that for the Super
Bowl. But
part of it is we're back. We're big. We're New York.
Okay.
That whole theory.
Let's not call it celebrate 9/11. You know,
that's not what he said. Commemorate and celebrate aren't the same thing.
I just, to me, it does. I don't know.
But there's meaning to it. There's value.
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you mean you guess so? It's not really debatable. It's the 10th anniversary of September 11th in New York, the NFL kickoff week. I mean, what better way to spotlight, right?
I wish they could figure out what to do with this ground zero.
I thought they had were doing stuff. I thought they finally
I don't think they've decided on anything. But anyway, I don't want to get into that.
I don't either.
So
I don't know anything about it, and you know on this show I stay away from not talking.
So schedule coming out at 7. Do you think generally, I forget about your own expectation, but what do you think people are feeling? Do you think that there's as much excitement about it?
No, no.
No?
I think there's some anger.
Anger?
F you.
F
don't
you.
Tell me about your schedule until I know it's going to actually, you know, play out.
Well, I know those that are eagerly await the schedule in order to make, you know, travel plans, they're like, who cares?
I saw Mrs. Wilfork, Mrs. 75, tweeted that.
Yeah.
Normally, as soon as it comes out, she goes on and makes all her flights. She's going to hold off a while.
Why would you? I mean, a lot of these, you know, flights are non-refundable to get the good prices, and, you know, you can't do it.
I don't know if she's really seeking out the good. Well, she is, actually. Forget it.
Well, she's not the only one.
Knowing her.
But we know a lot of ordinary fans.
Right.
This is a big day.
But I think the idea from the league is this should be a boost of excitement, PR kind of thing. I'm not sure all fans are receiving it that way. I think a lot of fans would like to be able to know for sure that the game's going to be. You know, we're kind of joking, will September happen? You know, could they put bad games there to cut? I think a lot of fans feel that. They don't want to have to worry about it. Tell me it's fixed, then tell me when the games are.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's
yeah.
You know, the announcement of the schedule leads to that question. And they're tied together. So it's not a diversion. It actually accentuates the fact that will it happen or not. So
it's good for Rich Eisen and the NFL Network. We were talking about earlier. Can you imagine doing a show every single day, an hour at night, about the NFL? And it just, you miss out on free agency. You don't know when it's going to come back.
And they don't have they don't have the luxury of talking about push-up contests. And
right.
And
they
stuff.
Do real shows, sort of. I told Paul, they did at one point bring out the record and fact book, and he was pointing at logos, and they were debating which team had top-quality receivers. It very much felt like a show on the internet rather than on a major TV network. But at least they get a real topic to talk about a little bit now for
major
a day or two. Mid-major.
Well, you know, you talk about how tough it is on them. Think about serious NFL. I mean, they don't even have the luxury of video.
But at least they get callers.
I was going to say, it's a good thing they have people like Bill Belichick that agree to come on.
But even fans, they can take callers.
Yeah, but the fans have nothing to say. You know, my Vikings need a quarterback. What do you think of?
Freddie, you finally came around in my line of thinking.
Well, no, there's nothing to talk about. Free agency, you know, now that we don't have it, we miss it that much more. Because even if you're not talking about what actually is happening, all the speculation of could this happen all comes up during this period. And now it's just dead. It's too bad. Owners, are you listening in Minneapolis? Can you get this done?
Minneapolis.
Can you get it done for us? Because we'd like to get going here.
I think we should talk. I found the most interesting recent of all the topics you brought up, the Bill Belichick discussion with Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin on Moving the Chains, Sirius NFL Radio. He had some comments talking about, you know, there's a lot of interest in their picks, and a lot of teams that want to move around are going to call the Patriots. He's aware of that with the three picks in the first 33 and all that. And talked about how the quarterback position will be key to this draft, which is what we've talked about, all that. But in there, he also said, at some point, you got to pick players. You can't throw those picks at your opponents. You need to convert them to players. And that's something that a lot of fans on our show have been clamoring for and even hoping maybe this is the year that, taking that a step further, converting those into players is trade up and get an elite player or whatever. Maximize those picks early rather than, well, let's get 3 third-round picks for 2012. Sweet.
Well, I mean, you can't say that they haven't converted picks into players. I mean, it's just that we want them to pick in the spot that they have or move up. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. You know,
in general.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly they hit on Devin McCourty.
But
they didn't trade up to get him. They traded down.
Like we talked about. But, yeah, but it was a good move because now you picked up extra picks and got
McCourty. No, I know. I'm not making a general sweeping,
don't ever trade down again. I'm sick of it.
They've done it with just a lot of success.
You need a pass
years.
Rusher. If you believe mock drafts, it's going to be kind of touch and go as to whether you get a pass rusher. Certainly not the top two, Quinn and Miller. Maybe you go get a pass rusher.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that because, Belichick said in that interview that the success of this draft might be defined by that front seven. Who figures out those front seven players best?
And which name did he mention?
Quinn.
Yeah.
And Justin Houston.
To me, that was...
Oh, he did? I didn't notice.
That to me was the most interesting part, and I understand Andy's point. I didn't take Bill's quote quite the same way Andy did, and we haven't really had a chance to talk about this because we're working on separate things this morning, but I need the. Can you call up the quote for us, Kevin? It's on, Andy put it on the blog. It's the top item about Belichick's appearance on Sirius. But I kind of took it a little bit more of him saying, whether you stay where you are or trade down, sooner or later you have to make a pick,
right.
And you need to get productive players. I saw that less as, sooner or later we're going to have to make the picks where they are and not worry about trading down.
I took it as
I didn't really
he makes
take
all
it
these
that
deals
way.
And ends up with extra picks. Sooner or later, you got to turn them into players.
Yeah, all right. I guess we did see it the same way. I wasn't quite as encouraged by that
as
other people.
Because I don't necessarily buy into it that he's – it gave me a little hope.
Score
but you know me.
MyBobs.com.
There you go, Fred.
There you
got
go,
a little
free Bob's
extra
furniture
plug.
Ad.
What the hell was that?
He had his mic on.
It's your website. Your website.
He doesn't work here. He's a part-timer.
He doesn't. Yeah. He's here in body, but he doesn't work here.
After Sunday, I won't be here long.
What happened Sunday? No.
He had an issue.
What happened?
They had the Revs game, and on the Revs, they used the TV broadcast for the radio.
The great Brad Feldman.
Right. They just actually just take the TV and put it on radio, and he got the feed for the TV, but it was the Houston game. It wasn't
What's
our
going
game.
On?
So... A lot of scrambling.
I saw a weird goal in that game. Did you see that? The one that went straight up?
Yeah, and that was a handball.
And came straight down.
Yeah, they got handed it in.
How come the goalie didn't hand it out of the way?
We got screwed, that's why.
It was like they were waiting for it to come down, and then it just came down in the goal. Well, you didn't see that?
No,
it was the softest goal I've ever seen. It literally went straight up, and they were all under it playing for it, and somehow it came straight down into the goal.
Softer than the two that Tim Thomas allowed last night in the
Bruins
game?
Yes, yes. Ridiculous. You need to see it, Fred, being a former soccer fan.
Okay. But getting back to Bill Belichick's conversation, talking about, evaluating the front seven. You know me. I don't believe that Bill Belichick says anything publicly that he doesn't specifically want out there for a given reason.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about, evaluating these front seven players, whether or not they'd be good on a two-point stance versus their hand in the ground and all that, is he trying to raise the interest for other teams because the Patriots are thinking of going into a different direction? Why does he do that? Do you have any theories?
No. I actually kind of took that one at face value.
Yep.
Because I do think there are a lot of interesting guys, and Von Miller, Robert Quinn, Alden Smith, Ryan Kerrigan, Daquan Bowers. I mean, that's a huge class of this draft.
Yeah. I agree.
And I think you and I talk about it. Who were the two? Oh, Cameron Jordan and Adrian Claiborne. When we were at the combine, we're like 3 pounds different. Same height, like 284, 287. And you look at him and you go, Adrian Claiborne is just a defensive end, nothing else. And I'll give Eric credit. Cameron Jordan, you look at him and you go, wow, he's a lean, athletic-looking player.
Maybe he could.
And they're
drop.
The exact same build, theoretically. I mean, just on the height-weight comparison. And I think they're Bowers and Quinn. To me, Bowers is just a defensive end. I know he's a little heavier, but he should theoretically be in the mold of outside linebacker potential.
Yeah.
And you have to make that decision, and sometimes I think it's just a visual. Like, can you see the guy doing it?
I think this is more, and I'm with Andy on this. I took this one more at face value maybe than Fred did. I think this is kind of an obvious assessment of this draft. The strength of this draft is in those hybrid players. Front seven guys, many of which will be 4-3 ends like Dwight Freeney in that system, or 3-4 outside linebackers in a Patriots system, or San Diego, or Pittsburgh, and so many others. And I think that the teams that are able to identify those players and hit So you get DeMarcus Ware instead of Sean Merriman, you know, even though Sean Merriman hit Vernon Golston. You get Sean.
Interesting you bring that point up, because that's what it, go ahead.
So it, but ooh, that's
this
that
is
to me
be good, Paul,
that to me is the key. Like he talked about Koa Meese last
right.
Year with Miami. Looks like Miami hit on that, you know. Is he going to be a superstar? I don't know, but he had a fairly productive rookie year. Jermaine Cunningham did some things here, showed some promise, fairly productive rookie year. Not all, you know, top five. You know, that's why I mentioned Golston. Doesn't have to be a top five, top ten pick. Like Golston was number six. But how you're able to evaluate the Justin Houstons and Robert Quinns of the world, I think Bill's being honest about that. I think that's the overriding issue with this particular draft, because that's where the strength is in numbers in the front seven.
Now, knowing that,
preach it.
Knowing that the Jets screwed up with Golston, they misevaluated him. Whatever they thought he had, he didn't have. Also, knowing that the Jets, as opposed to the Patriots, have been aggressive in the draft. They want to move up. They want to get that one pick and try to focus on that one guy. Is that sort of a warning shot to the Jets that, you know, you better make that pick right. You better make that evaluation right if you're going to, you know, give up picks to move up and jump over us to get who you want, thinking that we're going to want, you know, a guy like that or the same guy.
That wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
No. But, you know, I'm just thinking because the Jets are sitting at, what, 30? You know, they have to wade through two picks. But, you know, if everything stays away, two picks of the Patriots.
And we know they're not afraid to trade up.
And we know that
they do.
And we know that the Jets might go for defense. You know, Rex Ryan's their coach.
And that position. They need a pass rusher. They need an end-of-the-line
guy
opposite Calvin
Pace. They
went
from 2 years ago to having an incredible pass rush to really
right. Jason Taylor didn't do much last year. He's gone.
Right.
They need to add some talent to the position.
As far as your conspiracy theories and hidden meaning theories go, that's a pretty good one.
Okay.
That's a pretty good one because the Jets absolutely are going to be interested in taking somebody who can rush the passer. What if they're all gone?
Right.
When do they start scrambling and saying, we need to get in front of New England at 28? New England didn't get a pass rusher at 17. They're going to get one at 28.
Right.
You know, we got to get in front of them. Probably not going to trade directly with the Patriots.
Right.
So
that's out of the question probably. Yeah.
What do you do?
So I think that there's a veiled, you know, warning shot out there. And otherwise, he didn't talk about quarterbacks at all. Although we do
well,
know
he talked about how important the quarterback will be to this draft.
Right. That's true. And you know, now there's word that they're bringing in Gabbert.
Oh, really?
Did I read that somewhere?
I don't think so. Mallett, you mean?
Mallett. Sorry, Mallett.
Big difference.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, Mallett is here or has been here, according to ESPN, and Mark Ingram is here.
Tweeted out that he was coming.
Right.
And then I think Reese confirmed it.
Yeah, they confirmed it. And with Jake Locker and Mallett are in that next tier, would people trade up for him category.
Right.
Gabbert and Newton will be at the top.
So Mark Ingram tweeted out that he was here.
He tweeted out
and
he was
that information needed to be confirmed?
He
said he was on his way to Boston.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
And then there was a firestorm, and then Ingram tweeted out, well, I said I was going to Boston. It could be a connecting flight. Laugh out loud, LOL.
Right.
But then Reese confirmed it that he was coming here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure he was scolded once he got here.
And Peter King actually had written in Monday Morning Quarterback that, I forgot how he phrased it exactly, but that the Patriots have Mark Ingram in their back pocket. They love him, and that Bill will try to move around, do all these wheel-and-dealing trades, but if push came to shove at 28, he said, they'll just draft Mark Ingram. Now,
well,
I'm not sure a lot of people thought the Patriots might draft Ingram at 17. I'm not sure Ingram will definitely be there at 28. But he said he would have him in that back pocket, and Bill will stay on the phone. Nobody wants to pay the price. He'll just say, turn in the Ingram card.
Yeah, the other thing that Bill said about this draft is there seems to be a lot of undersized running backs, a lot of them. You know, there seems to be a big class for undersized running backs. And, you know, the more I think about it, and I said this last week, you know, Kevin Falk doesn't know he's coming back. We don't know if Danny Woodhead was a one-year wonder. We don't know.
Right.
And the importance of that third down change of pace back to Belichick, I could see him taking Ingram at 28 if he's there, and maybe even 17 to be that guy.
What guy?
To be a third down change of
That's
pace
not
back.
What he is.
Mark Ingram's not a third down.
He could be.
No, he couldn't.
No, he's not.
Well, anybody could be if you play him on third down.
Right.
That's not – if you're looking for one of those, he's not at the top of the list in this draft by any stretch of the imagination. There is a group of those smaller.
Now, why don't you think he could be that?
That's just not his style. He's a straight ahead power guy. Doesn't have a ton of athleticism.
See,
doesn't have a ton of speed.
I didn't see him using his power a lot. I saw him trying to evade tacklers.
He does that too much, which is why I don't think he's going to be a great NFL running back.
Which is why I didn't think he was a feature back. Which is why I thought he could be used as a change of pace back.
I don't like Ingram, but he is a feature back. I think he's going to be an average one in the NFL.
I think he's Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
I don't think he's going
to
be a third down back. I don't think he's got.
First
I don't think he has those kinds of skills.
Back. But there is a class of those. I actually spoke with Jordan Todman, who could be a potential third down back. Fred.
Yeah,
had
Andy,
a nice long conversation.
Andy had a talk
at the donut shop.
No, just on the phone. He was in town, and we talked for a little while. He's a very nice kid. I really hope it works out for him. But enjoying the process right now. Spending a lot of time in California at Athletes
I'm
First.
I'm rooting for him too.
Working out during the day and being treated like a VIP apparently at night. They go clubbing and all the various guys that are at their facility. You know, talked a little bit about meeting with the Patriots a couple different times.
Ingram or Todman in the second round, who do you pick?
I would take Todman.
Really?
I'd take the upside.
Okay.
I think he has upside. I've said it before. I think he was in a terrible offense that it's amazing how productive he was. He was miscast in the role he was in. I think he can be, in the right offense, a dynamic playmaker.
Okay.
I mean, I like Todman a lot. I mean, if Ingram was still there in the second round, as much as I don't like Ingram, it might be hard to pass up that pedigree.
What do you need, a backup to Ben Jarvis, or Ben Jarvis has started in the back?
But
there's more
upside
with Todman.
I like Todman. I think that he has a chance to be successful on all downs, and I think at worst he's going to be another one of those Kevin Falk, Darren Sproles, really dangerous in that role.
Still a little lukewarm on his hands.
Well, he's got to definitely learn to catch the ball better.
Right.
He didn't have a lot of opportunities.
Backs, right. Most backs don't. I mean, DeMarco Murray is few and far between in terms of a guy that's like that dynamic.
I really like DeMarco Murray as that
he's
kind
a pass
of a
catcher first, probably, and a running back second.
I'm liking more and more this Mekhi Lashore.
I like him too.
What have you seen?
In the second round.
He's been watching. Haven't you figured this out after all these years? The only position he watches is running back. That's how he falls in love with Jonathan Dwyer. He watches tape of running backs.
I watched Jonathan Dwyer. I saw LeSure on YouTube.
I told you.
And you think he's the best back in the draft?
I think of a weak class, yes.
I actually agree with him. I think he's better than
for my needs.
Oh, I do too.
You like Daniel Thomas and
like
Ryan
Daniel Thomas.
Williams better than.
I haven't seen Daniel Thomas.
Daniel Thomas is similar in kind of to LeSure in that they both have kind of long upper bodies and they run straight up.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
Well,
but a lot of guys.
I'm looking for a guy with decisiveness and vision. That's what I want. Decisiveness and vision. So,
A fumbling problem? Because
Daniel Thomas has a fumbling problem.
Yeah, I'm not
That's
looking
not
for
good.
That. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
We've been good. We have all our favorite guys have like these enormous red flags. Like we love Thomas. Fumbles a lot. Quinn, he was suspended all last year. Has a brain tumor. May or may not be an issue going forward.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk about Drew Bledsoe, and I want to talk about Bill Parcells and the fact that voting is now open on Patriots.com.
What about Houston Antoine?
The Hall of Fame. Well, they didn't talk to Houston Antoine.
He's one of the three finalists.
But I want to talk about their conversations. And one thing that I came away from Drew Bledsoe, Paul, and I tweeted out that you had the last question.
Thanks.
He's got his act together. He is a guy who played in the NFL, earned every
dime. So you liked my question then.
Well, yeah, but he's earned every dime that he was under contract for while he was the Patriots, you know, that first contract, $100 million, and had his act together, started planning for not being an NFL player long before he retired.
I thought for sure he would make that a negative.
No.
Maybe if he thought about playing football a little bit more instead of starting an equity firm, he would have won some games.
There's only two people that would make a negative out of that, and that's Tom Curran and Mike Felger.
They all need to do that.
I thought there were three.
They're all urged to do that by the league. Before they retire, get ready for retirement.
Knowing how you generally twist things, I thought that would be twisted to say that's why Drew was never good.
I came off from Drew Bledsoe, and I kind of knew this already, but this is a guy, as a well-rounded human, has his act together. He has his act. He has other interests besides football, you know, and really does you know, he is not going to be yearning to play football at any time, you know, for the rest of his life. He's got other things he's doing. Yeah, I think that's healthy.
Initially, it was tough. He still, even now, gets really jacked up on Sundays.
Right.
But the thing is, he said he kind of thinks about that less and less during the course of the week as time goes by. You know, at first, he really missed it, and especially when training camp rolled around and he wasn't going to it. Now it's just Sundays, basically, that he misses. So, yeah, I mean, I actually...
We're terrible at teasing.
I asked
that
him,
was going to be a tease, and we just started talking about it.
And then I thought we were going to take a break.
And then other times we tease stuff, and we never, ever talk about it.
And sometimes Fred's just like, break, points at me when I'm on the other side of the room.
Sometimes I just go right from the foreplay, right in, you know. All right, well, let's take a break now. We come back, we'll talk more about Drew Bledsoe and the tuna.
Old? No hair? Fine. But Paul's getting sick of these fat jokes.
I'm not fat. I have a different life choice.
Patriots.com Radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos, Eddie was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her. But online, I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. On the phone right now is Anthony in Naples. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on? Very impressive.
What's impressive?
You didn't have to wait long.
Well, you know, I figured I'd get rid of you quick. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, geez, thanks, Fred.
You're welcome. What's up?
I thought I'd give a call because I consider you guys like a little bit a part of my life, you know, so I thought I'd let you know that I got engaged.
Yay! Yay!
To a girl?
Yeah. Yeah, very good. No, Eric, not a boy. Up with the girl, yeah.
That's great.
One of your clientele?
No.
Clean the pool and some other things as well?
Oh. What's her name?
No, they're too old over here, Marco. There's no hot chick.
What's her name?
Her name is Carrie.
So she'll be Carrie of Naples?
Yes, she'll be Carrie of Naples.
Will she be calling in?
No, she won't be calling in. She thinks it's silly that I call in.
I'm with her.
That was my next question.
Is she Portuguese?
No. She's a white girl. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Nice.
Girl from Miami.
Yeah. Nice.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
Well, congratulations. Yeah. When's the wedding?
Well, she's in nursing school right now, so that probably won't be until she graduates or just after, because she lives in Miami and I live here on this side, so it's about 2 hours away. Nice. So,
Miami's where to go to get the girls.
Years.
Great.
What's that?
Kevin says Miami's where to go get the girls.
Well, yeah, I did have to go to that side of the coast. You know, there's a few of them here, you know.
Well, that's so great.
You landed one.
Now, when you asked her to marry you, did you first talk to her parents and ask for their permission, her father?
They're not that much of a traditionalist anyway. I was going to, but to be quite honest with you, I was a little bit too excited when I had the ring, and I just really couldn't wait. Because,
and
her parents live up in Ocala, which is almost like 3.5 hours away. So it's not like if they were right down the street or even like within an hour, I would have gone there, got a beer, and did the whole thing, you know?
Because Deirdre's parents told Andy no, but he did it anyway.
I can imagine, yeah. So hopefully today, too, or at least this week, there'll be some other great news, and we'll finally have the CBA done and over with.
Well, that would be great, too, and we'll see. I don't know. I'm not optimistic at this point.
Or you'll have plenty of time this fall to plan a wedding.
Jeez. Well, really, you're not optimistic at all, Fred?
Not for a quick lifting of the lockout. I think, you know, I'm hoping May, sometime in May. Yeah.
I hope so, too. But actually, Fred, I actually called up one thing on my mind. I'm actually calling to defend you now, where I really didn't agree with you in the beginning, but now I've heard a little bit of evidence, and I can understand your hatred toward the Red Sox now.
I don't hate the Red Sox.
Yes, you do.
You feel like they're a competitor, and you get a little jealous. You know, they're not a direct competitor, but I thought
I get jealous of their treatment. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
I'm going to defend Fred. I don't think he does hate them. Matter of fact, I think the last couple of years, I think he's been more of a Red Sox fan than Andy and I. We've tended to take some glee.
He
in some
watches
of the
more
misery.
I think you're taking it way too literal. Like, but I like when Fred always comes a little bit combative, you know, when it comes to like, they're always talking about Red Sox. You know, this is a Patriot town,
yes,
too.
Well, I can't stand. I mean, here, you know what?
That is true.
Even my wife said, we're driving around. It's the second game of the hockey, you know, with the Bruins.
Yeah, the hockey.
And it's a game in Boston, and it's about 2 hours before the game on 98.5, their flagship station. They're talking Red Sox. I mean, if I'm a Bruins fan and I'm going into Boston and I got the flagship station, I'm pissed.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about the freaking Red Sox. I want to talk about the Bruins.
But the trouble is there's 100 Red Sox fans for every one Bruins fan.
Plus, that was a Saturday, right?
Yeah, but still, I mean, don't you think they should be talking about the game that's going to happen in 2 hours?
But still, if there's 100 fans for every one.
Hey, I produce those damn Saturday shows.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also the crappy start.
I rest my case.
Everybody's furious about the crappy start, so maybe that's really what drove the talk.
No, but this is Saturday night. This was after game one. And here's my theory. Half these announcer boys that on the radio don't know hockey.
It's part of it.
They know Red Sox, and that's all they talk about.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Now, what do you hate about the Red Sox, Anthony?
What's that?
What do you hate about the Red Sox?
It's not that I hate it. No, I like the Red Sox, and you know, but football's first for me, and I only watch the Sox until football is back, you know, and like, or if there's nothing football related that I can, you know, grab towards. Like, I won't pay. I won't pay attention during draft, you know, just stuff like that. But my point defending Fred was that it was just funny because actually on 98.5, they I forget exactly what the two incidents were, but it was, I think it was like they pointed out, like, you know, when the Patriots had a big announcement or something it was going on. I think it was just after the Steelers win or something like this year. And then all of a sudden the Red Sox, you know, because they were getting a little attention, all of a sudden would come out with a big proposal or like a big announcement.
Right.
And it was just funny, the timeline. And I'm like, oh, because obviously Fred, you probably noticed it even more. I'm like, I can understand where you're coming from now.
Oh, and you know, Boston.com and the Globe is owns part of the Red Sox.
17%.
So if you go up in Boston.com at any time of the year, and they have this thing on the strip along the top, Hot Topics, the Red Sox will be in there for some reason. And there's no way they're a hot topic. I'm sorry.
No, I agree with you. You know, like, listen, I can understand, like, it's America's pastime. It's in the past. Football is the new king.
You know, when it comes to the share of voice in Boston, we don't compete with other NFL teams. We don't compete with the Cowboys and the Steelers. We only compete with them on the field. We're competing with the Celtics and the Bruins and the Red Sox. You know, that's who we compete with.
No, I agree with you. I just thought I switched sides. You convinced me, or I saw some evidence out there, and I'm like, you know what? You got a point.
There you go. Okay.
All right, guys.
Well, congratulations, Anthony.
Congratulations, Anthony.
Yes, congratulations. Anthony in Naples, always fair. We got to send him something for his wedding. We'll send him some Patriots thing.
I just thought about something. Sweet. With Andy's wedding, Fred, was instead a big fat Greek wedding, was it a big fat head wedding?
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see what you did there.
Yeah.
Sports Center right now.
He's,
I don't have
at the altar.
On.
This one guy yelling, "I can't see the bride!" It's from the back. His head was in the loop.
Mel Kiper and Todd McShay are debating overrated defensive players, and I've noticed a lot of video of Ryan Kerrigan and Brooks Reed being shown. So I can't hear the arguments, but apparently...
that's definitely what they're saying.
Well, Brooks Reed, I see. He's highly overrated. I'm not so sure Ryan Kerrigan's overrated.
Yep.
He's pretty productive.
Just to prove my point.
From a system that produces those guys.
Just to prove my point, yeah. Strippers sends the current... Hot Topics on Boston.com. April school vacation, the big picture, whatever that is, Boston Marathon, Celtics playoffs, and Red Sox.
You don't think the Red Sox is one of the top five hot topics? They're finally winning?
What about the Bruins win?
That's not a hot topic? There's 100 Red Sox fan for every Bruin fan. The Bruins are not in the conversation.
What
the Bruins are closer to the Revs than they are to the Red Sox.
And there's nothing else going on in the world that it's a hot topic?
No.
Okay.
We're a sports-minded region. And the Red Sox, especially at this time of the year, are at the top of that sports-minded list.
The Globe is really embarrassing. There was a couple of things. Now, everybody knows how bad the start is that they got off to. Now, they've currently won 3 in a row. When they won,
so
on,
now they're only like 27th in Major League Baseball.
I think
they'll be fine, too, but that's not the point. They won the second in a row on Sunday. Front page yesterday, little tease, Sox gaining momentum. For the first time in 13 games, they managed to win 12, two in a row. And we have to jump out of our, you know, seats to say they're gaining momentum?
You're right? Very negative.
That's, no, it illustrates Fred's point about the 17 percenters.
Yep.
They own the team, and they accentuate everything they possibly can positive.
Absolutely.
I heard a lot of hockey talk this morning on sports radio. Maybe it's not dumb. Yeah. Maybe it's not so much in the print.
I think the Bruins get.
I would hope
I think
so.
The
after
Bruins
that
get
game,
a tremendous amount of coverage.
That game was incredible.
Yeah, especially 98.5's done a lot.
Because I agree with Andy. There's probably, you know, for both the Patriots and the Red Sox, it just dwarfs whatever the Bruins get.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But I think the Bruins get a fair amount of coverage.
I think they get a lot.
I do.
Now, with 98.5.
Yeah,
they should.
Having an FM
they clearly
station.
Have.
Well, yeah, 98.5 probably takes it a little bit too far because they're the flagship station and they feel like they have to.
Yeah, but it's helped. It's given those people a place to go.
I think it's also forced EEI to talk a little bit more hockey than they normally do.
I agree.
And I think that's a good thing because I think it's especially at playoff time, they deserve to have some talk. Well,
frankly, I think they should just talk Patriots both stations all the time. The only thing.
Then why would people listen to us?
You don't want them doing it now.
That's true.
And we're talking about the Bruins.
You want people to listen to us. Want them to screw up.
We filled the vacuum of the...
What do we fill it with?
Well, anyway, let's see. Should we get to some emails? Now I have to leave early.
So you definitely need to get to emails because Andy will have to read
warning
the rest
people,
that you don't
right now.
Me? It's going to be like that AK-47 show we had, Paul.
Why don't you come in here and read the emails, Kevin? When
I'll come in and read the emails.
No, God.
Why?
Doc's running really down like right now. Don't let him do it.
You don't think I can read?
I really don't like doing the emails.
Don't ask a question you
don't like
want
doing the emails?
I don't.
All right. Let's get to some, shall we? Jason in Binghamton writes in, I started listening last year before the draft and got hooked. I've been listening religiously ever since, or maybe with this group I should stay Star Warsly instead of religiously.
See what you did.
But I might be listening too much. A few nights ago, yeah. My wife and I took advantage of a nice spring weather and took a walk with our 6-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter around the neighborhood. The kids wanted to play a game of questions like, what is your favorite TV show? What is your favorite dessert, etc.
PFW Progress.
A few minutes into the walk, my wife turns to my son and starts to ask, would you rather? And I had to keep myself from screaming out, Brooklyn Decker. Thanks a lot, Andy. I have a draft question. With all the subterfuge, that's an Eric word, teams undertake before the draft, what if one of them said, we're going to be totally truthful and candid no matter what we're asked? Who would you believe? Who would believe them? Imagine, Bill. What are your draft plans with the 17th pick? Well, we need a pass rusher in the worst way. So if Quinn and Kerrigan are gone, we'll probably trade the pick for 50 cents on the dollar. By the way, Stacey James is handing out our rankings of the top 150 players on our board in order. Bill, was the Jake Locker visit this week a smokescreen? Absolutely. We were going to take him to dinner in the North End like Tebow last year, but Mr. Kraft got upset we went off campus. So this year we went to CBS Scene at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon. Again,
presented by Raytheon.
I think if a team was totally honest about the draft, they would probably hide in plain sight. I look forward to listening to you guys live on my iPhone on draft night while also watching it on ESPN Live. Reminds me of the Seinfeld episode when George realized he could eat and have sex at the same time. Good luck with the coverage. Andy doesn't get that.
I'm not familiar.
No. So,
I'd rather you talk about Brooklyn Decker.
Well, the not that they've gone that far. Obviously, that was a funny, but the Broncos have been with Elway. I mean, he's been tweeting, and they've been a little more truthful and open throughout the search for the new head coach and the combine and the visits. They've taken a little bit of a step in that direction under Elway. But you're right. If you did it, no one would believe you. If the Panthers came out today and said, we're taking Daquan Bowers, number one overall, we're not worried about the knee anymore.
Right.
People would be like, what's their angle?
Who when
they really
are they bluffing
taking?
And
right.
when
what
aren't
are they? Right.
Right.
So like you could
poker.
Definitely do that.
Yep. Dan from England, I've spent all my time this past week listening to your shows and reading everything I can about the draft instead of working for my exams that start in 2 weeks.
Good call.
So firstly, if I fail my whole year, you are getting my university bill. I've been watching videos on this year's running backs, and the player that stands out for me is Jordan Todman.
Hey.
He has the pace to turn the corner better than any of the backs ranked above him. Do you think there is a chance of the Pats taking him in the second? I would also look at DeMarco Murray, as he might be a good Pats-type player catching the ball out of the backfield. Please give me your thoughts on this. And thanks again for mentioning the Royal Holloway Bears last week. Adding you four to our fan base has practically doubled it.
So. I certainly think both those guys are options for the Patriots, and I think there's a chance they literally are both options. I wouldn't be stunned if they drafted two running backs, especially with the two different skill sets. If you consider Murray kind of a receiver, running back, jack of all trades, mm-hmm. and Todman more of a traditional running back. Plus, they only have two right now. And, you know, they've carried five, so there's three open slots there, theoretically. And I'm sure they'll add a veteran at some point from somewhere. But two running backs would not stun me in this draft with the extra picks and the diversity of talent in the middle of the draft at that position.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't stun me. I would be a little surprised if they were that caliber.
Yeah, well,
that high. In other
words,
it's funny, two in the first three rounds.
But it's funny. I told you I was talking to Todman, and he said, "Well, what have you heard from some of the people you talked
yeah.
to?" And I told him, you know, anything from mid to late second round all the way through the fifth round. And I said, "What have you been hearing from the teams?" And he said, "Well, I heard a lot of second round, third round. Hadn't heard any fifth rounds until you brought it up." So, but I mean, if you got Murray in the second and Todman in the fourth, or Todman in the fifth, then maybe you could draft two running backs. But I'm biased. I like Todman. I see his warts more. I have a little bit of the Fred Kirsch in me with the Brandon Merriweather thing, where I've seen Todman so much.
Yeah.
There are certain things I don't care for, certain things I nitpick, but I think I would feel the same way about every prospect had I watched them, 10 or 12 games a year over the last 3 or 4 years. But he certainly has the speed and just think about it. He probably does have the best speed of any of the I think Kuiper had him ranked as his seventh best running back when I was just looking at it, and he probably does have the best speed to turn the corner of any of that group.
So, Andy, are you getting ready your negative question to Jordan Tavon? Jordan, you were taken in the fifth round. How
told you so.
Some thought that that might be the case.
What should I have said? I've only heard first and second. I told him.
I'm just joking, just because of your penchant to ask the.
Gave him an honest question.
Uncomfortable question.
Now, Fred, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Todman, if we're going to talk about him as a potential Patriot, comes from a unique background, was sort of grew up in a tough family in a tough city, and was adopted by another family in Dartmouth, and then, you know, really got into schooling, and that helped him kind of get on the right track. Would you be concerned drafting him to the Patriots, knowing that there are people in his background that are shady, that there might be some ties family-wise or just from his growing up that, you know, too close for comfort type?
Well, I'd have to talk to, you know, the people at UConn, and I'd have to talk to him and do my due diligence. I mean, every case is different.
Because they've talked to him a little bit about that, he said.
Yeah.
And he said, football's the most important thing to me. There's nothing that's going to sidetrack me or get me pulled away from that. But I do think that's something with young people that you have. I mean, Aaron Hernandez has had his hurdles. Connecticut's not all that far away. You know, I think that's one of those things you have to look into that the Raiders don't necessarily have to look into because there's a little separation there across the country. It's not as easy for these people to get in contact and to drive up and just, hey, I need money or whatever. You want to go do this tonight, and you get dragged into something that you might not otherwise get dragged into.
Yep. Ed from Framingham says, to Jake Steele and the Steelettes, I was listening to old podcasts and recognized that Andy has a long and distinguished history of service to the In on Quinn bandwagon. So in the spirit of Quinning, I have decided to give Andy one chance to get back on the bandwagon. If you pass this test, you will be back. There are two sinking canoes with one person in each. Neither can swim, and you can only save one.
Brooklyn Decker.
You already read the email.
No, I haven't.
In one canoe is Robert Quinn. If you save him, he's guaranteed to be drafted by the Patriots, will be a Patriot for a very long career, and guaranteed to be Lawrence Taylor minus the drugs and hookers. He may or may not appear on Dancing with the Stars. And the other canoe is, as you thought, Brooklyn Decker. If you save her, you are guaranteed she will be your mistress for as long as you want, will satisfy all your depraved needs whenever and wherever you want, and most importantly, your wife will never find out. Who do you save?
Initially, my reaction was Brooklyn Decker. But the more I think about it, if I save Robert Quinn's life and he becomes this elite superstar, he's going to be grateful forever to me for saving his life.
And so you'll have sex with him?
No, but he will have the types of...
That's where I thought he was going.
He will have the types of connections that he can set me up with Brooklyn Decker-level talent.
He has such the ego that he thinks that if the Patriots draft Quinn and he does well, that he's going to owe it all to Andy?
No, because I saved him from a...
He had to save him from a canoe.
That's why he owes it all to me.
All right, okay.
And I would think he could then hook...
He didn't even listen to the email.
When Lawrence Taylor was in his heyday, he was sending prostitutes to other teams. Robert Quinn could be sending talent to my room every night if he needed to.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, so that works on a professional and a personal level.
I got you.
Although the Brooklyn Decker one would be tough to pass up.
I thought you were going to do something lame like, yeah, DJ would never know, but I would know.
Oh, God, no.
I was going to throw something at
you. I got two arms. Why can't I save them both?
We had a lot of emails.
Especially Andy Hart. He's strong.
Especially with her flotation devices.
Strong like bull.
We had a lot of emails about the listener mock draft that Giovanni sent in.
Did you print that out?
I
did. Oh, no, that one. Oh.
Well, he sent another one, which was mock draft 2.0. But also Alejandro, formerly
Bogata,
now in Worcester.
That's not as cool.
Hello, Fred, Paul, Eric, and the push-up fraud.
That's you.
I can't believe that he is like Drew Rosenhaus. He is a master of manipulation and tweaking the facts to suit his
needs.
It is
what it is.
I absolutely blew him away and doubled up his push-ups, and somehow I'm the fraud.
You are the
fraud. By the way, Fred,
yeah,
did a little practice last night.
Yeah.
Did a couple of push-ups just to see how
just
much
a couple.
Pain.
Yeah.
I will not be participating in any push-up contest with you guys. I did 10, and I just stopped. Not because I had to stop, but I was thinking to myself, not sure I could go much further than 20.
Okay.
So I will not be participating in any contest with you two guys.
It's an acquired taste. Anyway, let's see. He talks about The Kenyan guy ran the Boston Marathon at an average speed of almost 13 miles per hour. How fast can you guys go on the treadmill? Remember to divide Andy's speed by two since he only does half the exercise. That's true. He wants to chime in on the listener's draft. I began listening to the show in 2003, back in Frank the Tank days. It became a regular emailer by 2005. That was up until Fred stopped reading emails, mainly because 1 hour of the show was devoted to Mike in Puerto Rico. It seems to me that even though the listening core remains loyal, emailers have changed over the long tenure of the show.
Yep.
I want to give a shout-out to my fellow frequent emailers from 6 years ago that, like me, are undrafted listeners. And names from the past: Andy in Narragansett, Joe in Indy, Not So Hot Amy, Christy in D.C.
Oh, Christy.
Save that one, Renee. Cormac, Cali Girl, Todd in Nova Scotia, James in Roanoke Rapids, Ping Pong, and Craig in South Carolina.
Oh, I miss Ping Pong.
Lot of them still.
Cormac
email the show.
Emails in all the time.
Fred just doesn't read them.
The rest of them, definite blast from the past.
Ping pong. He probably went to college.
One question, Fred. Did you really think this show was a good idea? Did you ever dream it would become what it became? Well, I always thought that a noontime show was needed, and I was right. Ever since we did Patriots Cafe at noon up in the old Patriots clubhouse, and Don Lowry would bring over Patriots as they ate their lunch, I thought it was just a good thing because people are on their break and they're sitting at their desk eating, and it would be a good diversion.
And you got rid of Brian Morey and it took off.
Yeah. No, it's, I think.
Yeah.
Fred and I and Brian had a lot of talks about this way, 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 way back in the day. In the show's infancy, we did think it could work. It wasn't one of those things, well, we'll try it, and I don't know. But I think we all felt like, I don't know if we thought it would get this big, but.
Then you got Andy, and it worked.
I think we felt it would work.
Just going to keep throwing these out there.
Well, I mean, no one pats themselves in the back like Andy Hart.
Well, I have to get going, but did send in a new mock draft, and he not only does he have the standings, but he has whether or not their stock is rising, falling, or even. So maybe you guys can, you know.
The Andy Hart Southeast up arrow.
Quite the little cottage industry here.
Maybe you
down
guys can,
arrow, I
can
should
pick
say.
That up later in the show. But we do have a lot of emails.
Are you closing that?
I am, because it's my email, and you can reopen it and see the
Kevin, why don't you read emails from in there, and then we'll discuss.
Okay.
Is that really what
Kevin's
we're
going to
do?
Kevin's excited.
Why not?
I'm not sure he's capable.
You don't think I could
can't
read an email?
Well, it'll be funny anyway.
Who is he, Rocky Balboa?
One way or the other, this is going to be funny.
You know Doc will be down here in about 10 minutes. He's not supposed to be doing that.
And to collect the lunch that he steals from somebody.
Yeah, he'll be down here, but not for that reason.
He's not here today. He's on vacation.
Is he in Aspen?
Is he in Aspen?
Oh, he's with his wife.
Is he visiting the shrine?
No, he's taking care. He's being a good husband, taking care of his wife.
He should. That's the gravy train.
Why, is she not feeling well?
No, it was her birthday, so I think he took her on a long weekend.
What kind of care?
All right.
Leave it to Fred to make
it. I hope he's not listening.
I have to sign off. These
small
guys will
present.
Still be here. I'm sorry about that, but we'll be back after.
The PFW boys will teach you the basics.
All right, you guys, it's first down. I'll hike the ball in the third set hut. Kyle and Carmen go deep post outs. Kenny, run a slant up the middle. Butters, be ready for the screen.
Eric might need a little more time.
Right. What are we playing again? Football. Got it.
Patriots.com radio.
On the lonesome kicker.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest plastic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
Remember but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But it stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it, too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud. Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Andy, how are we going to do it without the fearless leader?
We actually have a kind of a third member of the show, if you will, on the Ace Ticket Hotline right now.
We have somebody on the Ace Ticket Hotline?
Yeah, the one and only, the most interesting Pats fan in the world is here to rescue us.
Well, nice. Absolutely. You drop everything and go to him immediately.
That's what I'm doing.
James.
Hey, guys. How's the gang?
Good. How are you?
He's back from the dead.
Where you been?
From the dead. I was in Washington for a few weeks and the UK as well.
He's telling Barack how to do his job.
So, yeah, well, I wish.
Court-ordered mediation?
No, volunteer at this point. He'll be court-ordered in a few months, but we'll try and work this out without the lawyers. No, all good. How's things with you guys?
Good. Coming down the home stretch towards the draft here.
Yeah, I know. I want to come along to the draft. I see there's a party going on at Foxborough as well, but think about paying $65 to watch Bill trade down the whole evening. I don't know if that will be money well spent. But
Stay home and listen to us on the radio for free. Yeah, and heckle us.
I might do that.
Well, I guess it's not really free. You've been buying lunch for a while.
That's what we do today.
Yeah.
It's actually costing you significantly more than the draft party would, but we'll bring you more entertainment, I guarantee it.
Yeah, now I'm the number one listener fan. I feel as though I can't actually stop buying you lunch now, otherwise I'll drop in position.
I'm glad you feel that way.
Yeah. I'm yet to explain to my wife. I said to her that... I said to her a while back, I said, I might buy lunch with these guys once in a while. And she was against it at that point. And the more I tried to explain why I should do it, the more she was...
Well, we don't want to break up any marriages here.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess you haven't explained to her that what you're doing now, huh?
No, I'm just got the blinkers on and just trying to hide the bills and things like that. She doesn't know why I'm spending $80 a week at Pizza Rig.
Yeah, that's a tough one to explain. I'm not going to lie to you.
He probably thinks it's like a code for a strip club or something that you've been going to.
I don't know. I'll jump off that bridge when I come to it. But, I tried and explain it. It was a bit like a charity, but she wasn't buying it.
We are a charitable case. I will agree with that.
Yeah, but you're not that desperate.
Tell her we're a bunch of asses. We need a little assistance.
Yeah, no, but I said I showed her the paper. I said they write these, and she was like, "You're subscribing to the paper as well." No, that didn't really.
Maybe
work.
You should just not talk about it anymore at all.
I don't talk about it at all. She thinks I bought you guys lunch once or twice, and that's it. So
good. Maybe pick her up something nice on the way home today.
But to be fair, James, you are technically kind of now part of the show.
Yes.
So, you know, we're kind of like your co-workers more than your charity kids.
You really think that's going to work with us?
Yes.
I mean, it's a pizza with logic.
Yes.
You know, you're not married, Kevin, are you?
No, nope. No, and he never will be.
Probably not.
So how do you think the negotiations are going to go? Do you think they're going to sign a deal?
No. I'm not feeling very good about it.
I'll tell you, and I've been talking to a couple of other people who I wouldn't say that they're directly involved, but not a lot of people are very optimistic right now. And I'm not sure how that changes quickly. I mean, I think that it's going to be one of these deals that until the players start getting affected, and you have to get all the way to September before that happens, I'm not sure that there's an urgency to get something done, and that's unfortunate.
Well, that's what I find funny is there are already a lot of reports of players looking for loans and money and, you know, some of these interest rates they're paying. They're taking out these loans that are 18, 20, 28% interest. And I'm wondering, well, if there hadn't been a lockout, unless you signed a new deal, got a signing bonus or had some major bonus, whatever, what were you going to do then? Because you're not missing paychecks yet.
Right. That's why I think that element is overrated.
But there's a bunch of them.
But I think it's a money grab.
Yeah, on the players, and they all take out debt as soon as they sign a deal.
Right.
Banks are just bending over backwards to lend them money, and now they've actually just got to service that debt that they've taken out on their house and their cars and God knows what else.
Right.
So they're just taking loans to pay off loans, which is a good thing. But it's interesting on terms of the owners. I think I was thinking about this the other day. If the best thing you can do, if they don't like D. Smith, which I don't know if they do, the best thing they can do to ensure he's out of a job is actually cause some sort of lockout. So obviously I think they had a great relationship with Gene Upshaw and things like that. But if D. Smith comes out of this successfully, he's probably going to be in that job for a long time because they're going to trust him. Mm-hmm. If the owners don't like D. Smith, the best thing they can do to ensure he gets fired from his job is make sure there's a lockout. So I don't know if that is also, because he seems like, D. Smith seems that his ego is driving quite a lot of the negotiations. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I just don't get a good feeling when I see him on TV and things like that.
I don't know how you could. I agree with you. I don't know if it's fact, but the image he presents is there's a lot of ego involved. There's a lot of personal involved. And I'm not sure
it's
that's
all about
a good,
winning for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a good message to be sending publicly. But I think you're right. There's a lot of these underlying things. There's the whole, you know, do the owners want to make sure this gets out of the courts of Minnesota to get away from Doty and all this moving forward?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Jerry Richardson just wanting to break the union. And there's sort of these underlying storylines here that are a part of the big issue, which is simply how do we divide $9.6 billion fairly and grow the game and all that. There's all these little nitpicking issues, and I think they're focused on those right now, personally.
Because the few negotiations I've been involved with, when you go into them, you immediately identify whether there are egos involved.
Right.
And I think being an NFL owner in itself, I mean, no businessman goes to own an NFL company because it makes good business sense. It's an ego trip. Mm-hmm. You know, that Robert Kraft doesn't get the majority of his money from the Patriots. This is probably his other business ventures. So
true.
You can already tell that the owners are all so egotistical. I don't think it really is about the money nowadays. I think it's almost they've made their bed. It's going to be a competition against the egos of D. Smith and the owners. And you already got reports of the owners talking down to players and things like that. I just don't think it looks very good at the moment.
And guys like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady didn't get to where they are by backing down and not being alpha dogs and hyper-competitive and all that. So, yeah, there's certainly big butting of heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll have football at some point. Good news is we'll know when the games are scheduled as of tonight.
Right.
Very good.
More good news, James. I just got the revised PFW in progress listener mock draft, and he is still at the number one spot.
Well, he will always be the number one.
Yeah, but I feel dirty because I've just thrown money at it. There's people who run websites, and I feel a bit like, you know, when the coach is, you know, the coach's son is in the team, and they make the son quarterback, and the rest of the players, you know, don't like him.
But to be fair, he's literally come in and been part of the show.
Yeah, right. and it's not our rankings.
Right, yeah. These are fans that are
ranking. These are fans that like you as much as they like us.
Yeah, they're fellow fans that have voted you number one, not us.
I mean, they could have put Mike in Puerto Rico number one overall. They didn't. They put you there.
That's a good call, Paul.
Very good.
So tell your wife it's worth it.
Tell your wife it's worth it.
You're number one overall.
That's going to count a lot for her. I can see she'll be very
tell your wife you heard it on PFW in progress.
That's right.
Exclusive. What, she'll read it in the paper?
Yeah.
So there we go.
Tell her we're funny.
I'll leave you guys be then.
All right, James. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for lunch, as always.
As always, take it easy, guys.
Great. Andy, I think
you're... Great. What was that?
Yeah, what was that? He just dismissed him on the way up there.
I took
it the same way as you did. Great. See you later, James. Great.
I apologize. I thanked him for the call, and somehow that wasn't enough.
A lot of tone there.
I think you made an underrated point about Manning and Brady, you know, the alpha dog whole thing. The fact that those guys, Breeze and the marquee guys, are fully on board, I think, is what separates this from a lot of other work stoppages, especially NFL-related work stoppages, when they haven't always had full support of the union. You know, specifically in 87, the quarterbacks were an entity unto themselves.
Doing their own
thing. The quarterbacks club, so-called, with, you know, the Boomer Esiasons and the Dan Marinos and the John Elways of the world, weren't necessarily willing to roll up their sleeves and get dirty with all the rest of the guys. And that has not been the case here, and I think that's one reason why this is not necessarily a positive outlook.
What do you think the breakdown is in terms of, obviously, guys like Brady and Manning have no issues. They could have a lockout for a couple of years. They got all the money in the world, opportunities. And then, obviously, on the other end, there are idiots. You know, Antonio Cromartie.
Right.
But don't you think the bulk of the players are probably just normal, kind of in the middle? And, you know, when the league started saying, I mean, when the NFLPA said start saving, there could be a lockout, save this percent, whatever. The bulk of the players are in that group where, for a certain period of time, they'll be able to get past this. You know, they've got money in the bank. They've set up the, you know, whatever. But how long? That would be my question. You know, when does it start? James Sanders, my favorite guy in the world. My guess is he was smart. My guess is he doesn't blow his money. My guess is if they said put 60% of your 2010 salary in the bank, he did it, whatever it may be. But how long? How long do you just keep saying, all right, now I'm just starting to whittle away at that money you told me to save me and there's no end in sight?
See, I actually think it's an interesting question. I don't know what the answer is, but I think the owners are certainly banking on the fact that the players will not be able to do that. There's a bigger group of guys in the Antonio Cromartie camp that are going to be desperate for game checks and will not be willing to forfeit any of them, not be able to forfeit any of them.
But what can they do?
But on the other side, if the players are looking at it, couldn't they do the same thing to the owners and say, listen, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But if we hold strong,
yes.
Once the owners start losing out on some revenue that they're getting from the TVs and their sponsorships that probably they're not going to lose until games are lost, we can win
right.
this.
And their bills are bigger and they'll go downhill faster.
Exactly.
They'll spiral out of control.
You know, a guy like Jerry Jones, who has all the money in the world, is going to have a hard time making his payments on that new stadium if they lose games.
And you don't have to break as many. I mean, because you're just... Again, with the owners, I'm sure there's a hard line owners, there's a soft line owners, and there's in the middle. If you can break a couple hard lines to join the other side, all of a sudden it swings the power. But, yeah, I don't know.
And we already know.
What can the players do, by the way? I don't think they can do it. Like, Antonio Cromartie can go on TV and bitch. He can go on Twitter and bitch. But you've already decertified your union. You already cast that vote. You're not a member of a union, and you're locked out.
You could go sell insurance.
Right.
I mean, get a real job.
Probably not well.
No.
But I don't think those players, as much as they'll start bitching and yapping, I don't know that they can actually do anything. If leadership says, I understand your problem, some of it was self-made, we're going to remain a collective unit here, and we're going to do what's in the best interest of the group, and I'm sorry that you're not in line with the group right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what their outlet is, unless they file separate
lawsuits.
I
don't know the answer to your question, but it's a definite factor. Because I think that everybody seems to just automatically assume that the players will crack if it gets to that. But you raise an interesting point, Andy, because even if they do crack or enough of them crack, they don't really have the power anymore. The power is within the leadership now. And I don't know. It's going to be funny the way we all know that the whole decertification is more of a figure. More on paper. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. But I do think that's a dangerous game that the owners are playing, just assuming that the players are going to crack.
How about we break down this listener mock draft real quick?
All right, why don't you get to it?
This is from Giovanni.
That's enough lockout anyway. I get an ice cream headache when I talk about it too much.
It gets depressing, too. It depresses our listeners and everything. But men of PFW, since some updates for the listener mock draft. As you all know, due to incessant debauchery, Brooklyn Matt does not work for our draft purposes. And due to recent phone calls expressing their appreciation to this draft, Dagmar, Chris with a T-I-A-N, and Larry from Miami have shot up in value. So you want to start from the bottom?
So if you say if you just praise it, you work your way right into the...
No, Christian wanted to know why he was so low, so he moved up.
All right, let's start from the bottom. 32 with a sideways arrow, as Andy would say, is Jan Jankatoob. 31, nice. Craig from South Carolina, who is the down arrow.
Oh.
Mario, 30, down arrow. Wow. Paul from London, 29. Side arrow. Justin in Alaska, 28, side arrow. Don in California stays the same. Scott in Atlanta stays the same.
The arrows are really making me laugh.
Phil in Nova Scotia stays the same. Todd in Nova Scotia, 24, stays the same. John in California is 23. Keith in Georgia is 22. Tracy in Vegas is 21. Yemi from Texas is 20. Sam in Chicago is 19. Now, all those have not changed since the last one. All
right.
Now we get into the downflux here. Mike in Pensacola has dropped all the way down to 18.
Derek, no one saw that drop coming either.
Derek,
I'll tell you.
Derek from the University of Arizona, who I believe was in the top 10, is now at 17.
Wow.
Which was an absolute plummeting.
Well, that was a direct result of the Wunderlich score.
Like Brooks Reed, was overrated.
Right, but was lacking upstairs.
Yeah, clearly.
Chris with the TIAN has moved up into the 16th slot.
Wow.
Larry in Miami has cracked the top 15 at number 15.
Christian's a workout warrior.
Dagmar.
postseason guy.
You'll like this one. Dagmar is shot all the way up to 14, and he has two up arrows.
Wow, the double up arrow.
The double up.
Those are rare.
Now, Andy Hart, I think, has anybody ever gotten a double up? I know that the double down arrow for John Beck.
Yes.
You unveiled it for John Beck.
Where's he now, by the way?
Out of the league. And don't give me any of that crap, because we all hated him. You weren't the only one.
Did you give him a double down arrow?
No, I said I don't like him. I wouldn't draft him. I don't have this double down arrow system that you do.
If you had a system, you'd be a little more prepared.
Greg in the billing department stays locked in at number 13. TG and NJ locked in at number 12. James in Wales, number 11. Dan Heffron stays at number 10. And now we get into the good stuff. Jason in Chiba, number 9. Mike in Rhode Island, number 8. Lucky, number 7. Anthony in Naples, number 6, who we just spoke to. Cormac, number 5. Nice. Fred in Halifax, number 4. Strippers at number 3. Ken Walter at number 2.
And holding strong,
James Pettigrew at number 1.
If the season ended today, James would be number 1. So I see no reason to, you know. He hasn't played a game in 6 months, Andy.
And as always, Jets
don't need
are
to
garbage.
Drop him.
Andy is awesome, and Ken Walter rocks. From Giovanni.
Okay, let's go from one mock to another. That's a tremendous job by Giovanni, as always. Peter King, I just got in my Twitter feed
it's
or
Peter King.
Email, whatever, came out with his mock draft.
I'm not saying that Cam Newton should be the number one pick.
But he is saying that he will be the number one pick, which is very interesting. Darius 2, Miller 3, Gabbert 4, A.J. Green, 5. That is your top 5. Other players of note, going number 10 overall to the Washington Redskins, Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn.
Very interesting, in my opinion, going 12 overall to the Vikings, Jake Locker.
That seems to be gaining some steam in.
Going 15 overall to the Miami Dolphins, Andy Dalton, quarterback,
what?
TCU.
What?
16
that's,
overall.
I have not seen that anywhere. That's striking.
I saw it one other place, and I forget where. 16 overall, Ryan Kerrigan, for you Patriots fans who might want him.
That's a common one.
17 overall, right? Michael Pouncey.
Don't like it.
Guard center to your New England Patriots. I lost it. Danny Watkins going 23, by the way, to the Eagles. Then we get another interesting one. Where is it? Number 28. To the Tennessee Titans.
Wow.
Via trade. Christian Ponder, quarterback, Florida State University.
That's Andy's boy. He calls him Will Bunting, but Wes Bunting, his favorite player, or favorite quarterback in the draft.
I like him a lot.
I thought he was
a potential Patriot until he became a potential first rounder.
Bunting was on
no
with
need to comment.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree with Andy.
Andy Dalton, 15, would be quite interesting. And by the way, J.J. Watt... You know Watt?
Watt.
Not in the first round?
27th.
Oh.
To the Falcons.
Just before. We wouldn't have that pick in that mock draft.
Yeah, I like Andy Dalton as a first-round quarterback a lot less than Christian Ponder as a first-round quarterback.
I don't care for Andy Dalton.
No, I don't
either. At all.
I think he's one of those guys that I think
has red hair?
No. I think there's something to his ability to win, and he's one of those guys, but I don't think he has the skills necessary to succeed at the NFL level.
He's a gamer.
Level.
He's a winner. Blah, blah. Alden Smith, 20, Buccaneers.
You know, you loved Bruce Gradkowski. For a lot of those reasons.
Whoa.
Really?
What do you mean by love?
You called him a baby Brady.
And I wanted to take him late in the draft.
No, I don't think
that. Not 15th overall.
I don't think Andy Dalton should even be considered in the first two rounds.
No, but
never
listen,
mind 15th overall.
All that crap you just spewed.
But you just
all that winner gamer.
But you dismissed it.
Those are the things you draft in the 5th, 6th, and 7th round.
And that's
not
where
what
I think Andy Dalton should
overall.
Be taken.
You know what matters 15th overall? Talent.
Am
I going to have to come in there?
No, you stay right where you are. I'll tell you when we want another email.
Don't make this out to be.
It's not very nice.
Something different than it is. I am not suggesting that I would take
Andy Dalton. You know who else was a winner and a gamer and a gunslinger? JP freaking Lossman. Ooh,
yeah.
Let's take him, man. How did that
First
work
of
out?
All,
there's only
that's
two of you.
Completely false.
No, that was his scouting report.
He was a winner.
He was a winner.
He was a definite
a
gunslinger.
Gamer
he didn't
and
win.
A gunslinger. No, not national titles wins, but willed his team to victory, carried a team.
He had it.
And you know what it got him?
He was a definite
nothing.
Gunslinger, no question about
stunk.
It. No question about
winning.
It.
Stunk.
I don't think that he won anywhere near the level that Andy Dalton did.
He didn't.
And certainly not
but
at the level
but his reputation was
Dalton
he was
has.
A winner, a gamer, and a gunslinger. All that crap is irrelevant.
The gamer, gunslinger,
take it all
I'll
in the fifth
not,
round.
I,
yes,
I
it was. I know for a fact it was. And I'm not talking about win-loss record.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. The guy was the most, he has the most wins in the history of football.
Who cares?
Me. That counts
See,
for something.
See, I don't. I think that's
now,
so
it,
overrated.
Does it count for something to pick him in the first round? No. I don't want Andy Dalton anywhere near the first
Greg
two rounds.
Greg McElroy's got a lot
Probably
of wins. Do you want to draft him 15th overall?
No.
He's got a lot of wins.
Get 15th overall. Why?
Paul Perillo's win-based quarterback evaluation formula.
You're making this argument as if I want to take these guys in the first round.
I have zero care of whatever we're arguing about.
But you keep saying, I don't want him at 15. I don't either.
Well, you seem to be making an argument for it.
I'm saying I can understand some of the qualities that Dalton has. Just doesn't have the physical. To go with it.
The physical?
Yes.
Okay.
He doesn't have
the
physical
qualities. You should
probably get
that physical before the draft. There are plenty of doctors around
to
give him a physical if he needs it.
If you actually listen to what I said he doesn't have the qualities, and then I say he doesn't have the physical.
Paul's little laser just turned from me to you. Now he's fighting with you. Beep, 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 beep.
Well, Andy likes to toss bombs, then he dismisses himself from the argument. I didn't say I wanted him at 15.
But Alden Smith going 20 to the Bucks, I think, will... annoy Patriots fans a little bit because I think he's a
well,
guy.
Well, we took a center or
second,
a guard?
Yeah.
Yes. That's and insane.
At least Pouncey will get his wish, right? That's one spot ahead of. It was 18 last year to the Steelers for Marquise, and he wants to go higher. That's amazing. He's not as good, and he's going to go higher. Man, what is Peter King, though?
All right, we got phone calls to get to here.
What do you got?
We got John in Palm Bay on the Ace Ticket Hotline right now.
What's up, John?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
Doing
how are
right?
you?
I'm doing wonderful. Hey, I got a quick draft day question. Say that in the first round the Patriots get a linebacker, outside linebacker they want, and a offensive lineman or a right receiver. And at the beginning of day two, some team wants to trade up with us for the first pick in day two for next year's number one and the number three. Would you guys take that pick, draft pick?
A one and a three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Would you get that much?
Probably not.
No, you get
unless
a one.
Unless there's a premium, unless you can really hold him over a barrel.
But if you,
and...
if you traded 33 for a one next year, that's a fair trade.
Yeah, but there are some people that believe, I mean, I've heard this written about and talked about a lot, that this draft with the quarterbacks, there could be a premium at 33, and you could hold somebody over a barrel to make them throw in a third. Because the normal would be a one next year. But
yeah.
Some, I mean, a lot of people believe that there's going to be additional thrown in.
But yes, John, to answer your question is I would definitely be interested in trading that 33 for a one next year if it's to a team that I really felt had a good chance of being a top 10 draft pick next year. You know, if it's a Carolina or a Buffalo, one of those teams, mm-hmm. I'd be definitely interested in that.
How about some team if the labor situation gets settled, they offer us a one and somebody like maybe Carolina offers like a Steve Smith or – some veteran wide receiver.
Yep.
Yeah, I would be. Yeah.
I wouldn't hold out hope on that happening, but Yeah, I'll take Steve Smith. I'll add him to my receiving core.
Yeah, I mean, if I would trade it, if I would trade 33 for a one, I would certainly trade 33 for a one and an all-pro receiver. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, you have a great day, and hopefully the labor situation gets settled.
Hopefully. Yeah. You too, John.
Thanks, John.
Enjoy the weather.
Great.
Should we get back to the emails or no?
All right. I'm done yelling at Andy. Go ahead.
Well, that the call kind of broke the tension a little bit. That's what I was shooting for.
Well, the tension was focused on you, just so you know.
I know, that's what I mean.
Just so you know, I am regretting the decision to make him read emails already.
I told you you would.
You are correct, Andy, once again.
Thank you.
What, can I not read?
No, you can read, but you now you all of a sudden you think you're in charge of the show.
And I'm not so sure you can read. That last email, I didn't know where the periods were. It was one run-on sentence.
Go ahead.
Because it was a list. There were no periods.
No, when you were reading.
Whatever. Zach from
it was like an Eric stand-up. Lots of pauses, but I'm not sure the thoughts were ever completed.
But I'm not wearing sunglasses.
But you don't have any hair either.
Well, your little brother's shirt.
I have better hair than Eric does.
Neither of you have hair.
It's not saying much, but... All right, Zach from Syracuse checks in. The more I think about it, the more I doubt it that either Kerrigan or certainly Quinn will be available at 17. If they do not trade up, how will you feel about Jabal Sherrod at 17?
Oh, I'll feel terrible.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
I know it's a bit of a reach, but I doubt he'll be around at 28 or 33. Do you think he'd be a good fit for the Pats?
And it's Sheard, isn't it?
Sheard,
not
Sherrod.
He spelled it S-H-E-R-R-O-D.
But a host should be able to fill in.
That's two different people. It's Derek Sherrod and Jabal Sheard.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah, so who's he talking about?
I don't know. He just wrote it as one name.
Because, yeah.
My guess is he's talking about the pit outside line, you know, the pick.
Yeah.
Pass rusher, Sheard.
I kind of like, but not...
I like him too, but he's
very
raw.
Fallback. Yeah, he's my fallback. Raw. I would put him in kind of Brooks Reed, second round. I need to get somebody. I got a guard and a running back in the first round. I need a pass rusher.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about Reed. This guy, to me, he's a real boom or bust kind of guy. I think he has the potential. He hasn't played football that much, and he has very limited knowledge of techniques and whatnot.
Good length.
He's just a pure athlete. He totally fits the suit, for lack of a better term. You know, he looks the part, and I think athletically he can fill the part. The question is, will he learn how to play football? And now you're asking him to do that at the NFL level. Maybe, you know, there's a chance that it doesn't work out, but I think athletically, physically, he's an intriguing guy. I wouldn't take him in the first round. I know that some of the mock drafts have him in that bottom 10 kind of category or the first round.
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch him there. I would wait. But, I mean, I think I like him. What are you reading there? I'm just reading my notes on him.
No, I knew I kind of liked him as a developmental raw kind of guy.
That's exactly how I feel.
The one thing I wrote is I don't think he has an elite first step in quickness, but he has good moves and some power. Very long, good length, which they like. They're big on the length on the edge there. But he's a fallback. I wouldn't, very different from Kerrigan or Alden Smith or a guy that I would expect to have an impact as a rookie. If you take Sheard, I would probably put him in the Jermaine Cunningham category. I don't have high hopes. If he plays, okay, then I'll expect him to do something, but I wouldn't be putting a lot of eggs in that basket.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. What do you got over there, Hutchie?
We have a first-time emailer to the show, so I feel compelled to read his. Hector from Mexico, first-time emailer.
Hola!
Huge fan. Short email because he's writing from his phone, so he might be listening to us on his mobile app. One question.
Freddie be all excited.
What positions do you think would be better to address in the draft and free agency from a Patriots need point of view? Very simple. Thanks, guys. Great job. Hector in Mexico.
Would it be better to go outside linebacker? Is that?
I
think draft rusher? Outside linebacker.
Yes.
Because I don't think in free agency, I think you'd have to severely overpay to get somebody with the same type of potential in your system. I mean, you can get Kerrigan or you can get Alden Smith or somebody in the middle of the first round, not even having to go up, way up. And your potential is, we hope we have our 10-sack guy. We hope we have our impact. If you're going to go get one of those guys on, you know, the franchised guys, Tamba Ali or Woodley or, was he franchised? He was, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
And he actually said, I love it or something. You're going to have to pay through the nose. So I don't think you could get good value there unless they've targeted some, you know, you and I targeted Matt Roth a few years ago. It never really panned out. Maybe they've targeted somebody like that who
unfortunately,
they
no,
project.
No one else ever targeted him because he's been on seven teams since.
But to get an impact pass, I mean, you pay for those. That's a premium position in the NFL. Just ask Julius Peppers. The Bears paid. It worked out. You know, he had a huge impact.
To get an established one, you had to pay through the nose. Now, maybe there's a guy that's under the radar somewhere that they think the same way of Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah.
But I don't
think
that's...
the Niners thought Tully Bantakane was that guy. What did they do?
That hasn't
they cut
worked
him 2 years
out.
Later.
That hasn't worked out for them in the past. You know, they have brought in some guys that weren't necessarily household names, and really they haven't.
How many elite pass rushers are dug up through free agency?
Oh, you mean how many change hands through free agency, or are not really much one place?
You know, I'm sure people would say Mike Vrabel was an example. I don't think there are too
many. I think Mike Vrabel even
wasn't even an elite pass rusher.
Well, I don't think that he came out of nowhere either. I think he was a pretty good player in Pittsburgh.
No, but he would qualify from what I'm asking for. A guy you can get on the cheap and develop into an all-pro outside linebacker pass rusher. And that's what he was.
Yeah.
I don't think there are many. I think you're either an immediate impact pass rusher with the team that drafted you or not. You know, James Harrison was a guy that they cut a couple times, but he never changed hands. He was always with them. You know, got on the program and broke out.
What program?
But I'm trying to think of a developmental. Oh, the guy needed a change of scenery, and now he's a great pass rusher.
I'm not sure that it works that way. You know, and
I can't think of.
There's pass rushers that do change hands, and sometimes they have more success, and sometimes they have less success. I mean, like Bryce Pop back, you know, a few years back. You know, there's been guys that they seem to move around. Doesn't always work out. You know, we tried it with the Dalis Thomas.
That's kind of my point. That's why I would target pass rusher. Because if you hit DeMarcus Ware, whichever guy you think is DeMarcus Ware or Sean Merriman or Clay Matthews or Brian Arakpo, you've hit.
You know, we tried it.
That's
with,
more common.
With
it's more
too.
Common. You
we
just
have...
flat out draft a guy. He comes in and immediately you go, you know what? We hit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's probably less
Whereas
of a risk.
Whereas you can get others. I mean, I can go get a guard. I can go get a tackle that could start some games and be okay. I can go get a deep threat receiver probably, although in New England that's been a little hit or miss in that position.
Well, but I think it's similar because...
More miss than hit.
Yeah.
I think that...
Except for the big hit.
I think Moss you're better off good. Getting a young rookie.
Do you mind if we converse while you're talking?
No, I heard you. But I think you're better off getting a Kerrigan or someone that you can put into your system and he doesn't have to relearn anything or, you know, forget about what he has been doing somewhere else that's in a different kind of a system. The way, and I think that the similarities with wide receivers are there. You know, they talk a lot about how much is on the wide receiver here and how hard it is to assimilate. Yeah, Randy Moss was great. You know, he was going to be great anywhere, but... You know, there's a longer list of guys who weren't able to do that as wide receivers here, and some of them had pretty good careers elsewhere.
Yeah, but my point would be, I think in the NFL you've seen, especially over the last 5 years, pass rusher is like running back. If you take the right one, there's a good chance you're going to know pretty early on you took the right one.
Yeah.
They're going to come in, contribute, and you're set. Whereas even receivers, you know, some guys struggle and then come on a little later and there's various things. I think pass rusher, if you take the right one, you're feeling pretty good pretty quickly. All pro bowl type players develop quickly.
What do you, now he's got a phone call. I thought we could make
the guy who can't do one thing right is multitasking.
He's now trying to do three. So we'll have to let that one go.
He's rubbing his oversized forehead again.
I think you make a good point.
Steve
with
in New Hampshire on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Steve.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing all right.
We'd do better if Fred were still here.
I'm listening to the mock draft. I'm saying, hey, how come I didn't get in there? But I ain't even worried about that, okay?
No, it's better that you just go to the right team. You don't want to be worried about going in the first round.
You were in the others receiving votes.
Fred, does Fred scare away the callers?
No,
that doesn't even matter to me, honestly. I don't do that.
I don't care.
Stuff.
I don't care.
But I just want to say my 2 cents. As far as draft-wise, I truly believe this, just on the overall, you know how I am.
Yep.
I think we just need offensive line, and I like our running backs, and we definitely need a defensive pass rusher. I think Benny had a great year. He's got to feel great personally coming off of it. And now that, you know, our line is getting older, if we set up that offensive line, I think, you know, between him and Woodhead, you know, I think they're fine. Kevin Falk, I hope to God he's still going to play. It's like, I'm good with the running back by committee, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't have a big problem with the committee. I just don't think, as Andy pointed out earlier in the show, Steve, I don't think you have enough members of that committee right now. And I certainly think Kevin Falk is an iffy proposition at probably a 50-50 shot at best.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it probably
leaves that Woodhead fills right in his face.
Yeah, and then you have one other running back.
And well, I don't know, but positions are offensive line and pass rusher. Those are my two biggies. Other than that, Bill can do whatever he wants. But I got one other thing I want to ask you guys. And like I, you know, like the overall thing personally, like any business, if I'm the owner, my employees, hey, this is the way it is, deal with it. So, you know, on the issue of the whole, I kind of side with the owners a bit, you know, and I know they've invested millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in the retired health benefits and the whole thing. I'm going, these guys playing right now, I don't think you should argue too much. You know, you're making a good paycheck. I'd be blessed with it. You know, we all would. But I got to ask this. Roger Goodell, isn't he supposed to be like 50-50 players and owners?
No.
No, he works for the owners.
He just all right, see, I didn't know that. So I'm glad you guys told me that because part of me was, every once in a while, I just say to myself, I go, isn't this guy supposed to be for overall everything? But
no.
He really does just work for the owners?
Yeah, he represents the owners, the Shield, the league, nothing to do with the players, really. He
okay,
just disciplines
all right, because that was one thing I was dumbfounded by. Big time.
Yeah, no, he is. He's all in with the owners. They put him in his role, and he answers to them.
All right. Well, I just want to say hi to you guys. Peace out there, and hey, congratulations to Anthony down in Naples.
That's right. Well done.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the only flaw of having me back here. You can hear the whole phone going off.
The only flaw with having you back there is having you back there.
Ha, 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 ha.
What's Steve's wife's name?
I don't know. Paul's infatuated
Deb?
With his phone.
Steve's wife's name? I don't remember.
But he's the guy that likes to say, and I tell Deb. He likes to throw his wife's first name.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Having a conversation at the bar.
I think
room.
You're right about that. I think he does do that.
So, Liam in Bristol, England, checking in via email here. Hey, guys, thank you for making this offseason bearable. You're all doing a great job, and I can't thank you enough. I noticed Paul picked Danny Watkins of Baylor with the 28th pick in the NFL mock draft. Would you guys as a group be happy with that selection? And is there anyone else from this year's offensive line class that you're interested in?
Yes.
Costanzo?
I don't love him.
No?
Not overly in love with him. Some of the guys I like, I know I like Clint Bowling, the kid out of Georgia. Got some position flexibility. I like Carpenter out of Alabama. I'm intrigued by some of the tackles that'll probably be gone. I'm intrigued by Solder. I'm intrigued by Tyron Smith. I think Derek Sherrod is a pretty good player, which was interesting as
sure.
to who that guy was talking about earlier necessarily. A little lower level. I think Solder and Smith have the chance to be elite tackles or elite busts. I think they're big boom or bust prospects. I like Watkins a lot, as I said. Let me just skim through my list here. Will Rackley, who the Patriots met with, I really like. Kid out of Lehigh, lower level, mid-round prospect, maybe a third. Just absolutely kicked ace at Lehigh. Dominated people like I've never seen before, probably on any tape. I like him. I also, as I said, Bowling is a versatile guy, a little higher level of competition. But I think there's a good group of 6'8", 10 guys there that you could pick from. Hairston is a later round pick out of Clemson that I like. But if you go Carpenter, Bowling, Rackley probably wouldn't be, you know, game ready right away. But Watkins, Sherrod, I mean, I think you could get a starter easily out of that group. And I think you're talking about end of first, second, third round. So I think there's a good chunk to choose from. But I think Watkins is an intriguing guy because of the Mankins comparison, because of the physical style, the versatility. There's a lot to like about him.
Yeah, I picked Watkins based on kind of what was available. And
who did I take?
You didn't you take Kerrigan in that,
okay,
in
yeah.
that one?
I was trying to think, did we get our pass rusher?
Yeah, we
okay,
did.
We got our pass rusher.
We did get our pass rusher at 17. Now, if for whatever reason you're not able to get a pass rusher at 17, I think you might be looking at one of the lesser guys, you know, Justin Houston, mm-hmm. for example. Maybe down in that area. But I felt like Andy had taken Ryan Kerrigan for us at 17, and I thought offensive line, I agree with Steve's point. I think the offensive line needs to be addressed reasonably early. I think they need to come out of this with at least a couple of offensive linemen that are going to be able to play, if not right away, pretty quickly. So you know, Watkins, like Andy said, is an intriguing guy, and there is a question how quickly he'll be able to play because he hasn't played a ton of football, but I like the fact that he's a little bit older and maybe a little bit more physically mature than some of the other guys. Doesn't have to grow into his strength and all that stuff. But, you know, will they take him? Who knows? It was a mock draft. You just kind of went off of what was available.
So you're not into...
You're looking at the email you just got there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was doing while you were talking about Danny Watkins. Anyway.
So you're not into Costanzo at all either?
No, I like Costanzo. Yeah. I don't love him. I don't think he'll be there. He wasn't available for me at 28 in the mock draft.
He might be perfect for the Patriots because I think he's a right tackle. And if he plays right tackle and Vollmer moves to left, okay,
correct.
You're fine.
Kareemi, Solder,
when did right tackles
Pouncey,
become first-round picks?
All those guys were all, and I'm pretty sure Costanzo, they were all gone when I picked.
There's going to be a run on tackles at some point. But I feel like that used to be... You got a right tackle. You drafted a left tackle. You got a right tackle.
Well, it used to be you got a guard. All of a sudden,
right. When did these all become first round picks? And when is fullback going to become a first round pick again?
Andy, put that away.
Anthony Sherman, the Sherman tank out of UConn,
the Shermanator,
Shermanator, Attleboro's own. Let's get him back in the first round pick. Not since Bill Belichick took touchdown Tommy Vardell has a fullback been a first round pick,
and that worked out well.
Was that the last fullback picked in the first?
I don't know, but he wasn't really a fullback. He became a fullback. In the NFL. At Stanford, he was a running back.
No, I know. But he was a fullback in the NFL.
Yes.
Where's Kyle Echol now?
I don't know. I don't know if he's
Philadelphia.
In the league.
Wasn't he the one tweeting about...
But I don't think he was on the Eagles anymore.
No. He's out of the league, I believe.
Yeah.
He was in Philadelphia tweeting about that they were going to hire somebody. Who were they hiring for GM? Gruden.
That What's-His-Face was leaving, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because he saw somebody check into a hotel or something.
A very flawed tweet. And... Perhaps a big problem with that whole medium.
Tweetosphere?
What do you got over
got
there,
a little
Hot
bit
shot?
Of a draft game here for you from Dave in England.
I like games. It's
a little bit lengthy. That's
what she said. Don't step on my lines. That is not your role.
Hey, guys.
Oh, your damn role.
I just wanted
Shut
to
your
send
hole.
You... Now I know what Fred feels like.
No, you don't. You don't have the money, the intelligence, the stability
That's
in your
right.
life.
Or the shoulders.
The wonderful family.
Or the fat shoulders, that's true.
It's true. No, his whole...
The flowing head of hair, except for that one spot in the top middle.
His thoughts on his family are hysterical. Like, there was one day he was just like, I turned 40 and I added water and stirred and I had an instant family.
Yes.
And I was just like, wow.
He did.
So anyway, here we go. Dave in England. Hey guys, I just wanted to send you an email to let you know just how valuable you are to people over here in the UK. I can't imagine how I'd get... anything like the draft information that I get over here without you guys.
You couldn't.
It really is amazing how for a paper that covers just one team with three or four guys, you manage to get the depth and quality of coverage that you manage. As tribute to
Twice
you guys, I have
it.
Now finally subscribed to the online version of the paper and would urge other UK-based fans to do the same. It uploads to the iPad so I can take it everywhere with me. I also thought I'd like to try a little either-or with the draft.
Look at his face, how much he's struggling.
Well, dude, I'm so far away from the screen.
So move your mic.
He's got an excuse for absolutely everything.
Fine.
Now he's getting red and flustered.
Which of the following draft classes would you prefer for the Patriots? Draft one. You pair the two first-round picks with the two third-round picks and trade up the two first-rounders, which lands you at roughly 13 and 22 in the first round, which you use on Ryan Kerrigan and Muhammad Wilkerson. You then use the 33rd pick on Danny Watkins and the 60th pick on Daniel Thomas. This uses the picks you have stockpiled and gets players that project to be elite playmakers, especially Kerrigan, to supplement the depth you've added over the last few years, and you find a veteran deep threat in free agency with someone like Randy Moss, Chad Ochocinco, Steve Smith, Sidney Rice, or Malcolm Floyd. Now,
I love everything except the Kerrigan.
The Kerrigan. See, everybody does it.
Plus, what are the odds of
13th overall for Ryan Kerrigan?
What are the odds of you trading your two first-round picks and getting two higher first-round picks?
No. You're trading your thirds. Oh. You're moving up each of those slots by sending a third.
Yeah, if you're trading your first-round picks, you're moving up.
You're basically sending 17 and a third to get to 13 and then 28 and a third to get to
I got it.
The other.
I understood it, Andy.
All right. I'm explaining it to our monkey host.
No, I get it.
It's hard to read and think at the same
time.
Did you catch that magic?
Yeah, you could get Kerrigan and Wilkerson possibly at 17 and 28.
Yeah.
Possibly.
And they're also, fair or not, they're both like in my fallback group. I'm not overly thrilled with Kerrigan. I like him. He's productive. there's a lot to like about him, but he's not Quinn. He's not Von Miller. I'm not even sure he's in the Alden Smith high side, because a lot of people think the high side on Alden Smith is tremendous. I'm not sure Kerrigan is that. I think you might just be happy with what he is. You'll say he's a good player.
I'm one of those that has Alden Smith on the high side. I think he is right there with Quinn. We talked about this coming down.
It's in that Pepsi over there.
We talked about this on the way down here, and I do agree with you, and that's exactly what I wrote and asked PFW that asked this. The differences between the two, I think that Quinn is a little quicker and a little bit more consistent, but I don't think there's a tremendous amount of physical differences between those two players. And it doesn't mean I don't want Quinn. If I can get Quinn, I would try to do that. But I wouldn't be at all disappointed if the consolation prize was 17 Alden Smith. I think he's going to be a good player. And you mentioned something about his arms, the wingspan.
Oh, the length.
That they love.
They love the length.
They love that. He uses his arms well too to shed blocks and didn't help him out.
But you do need it.
Yeah.
I mean, especially now. I mean, one of the guys that the Patriots are tied to, and I saw, I think Mike Reese did 10 possible paths, and one of them is Nate Solder. He's visited here. If you have your starting tackles as 6'8" Sebastian Vollmer and 6'8" plus Nate Solder, well, they got to match up with these outside linebackers. And I'm not just talking about in practice. I'm saying this is where the league is going. These tackles continue. Pretty soon there'll be a 7-foot tackle. At some point, there's going to be a 7-foot tall tackle. And
Shaq,
you got to be able to get off. You got to be able to fight length with length.
Imagine how many times Shaq would be
like
hurt.
Any good porn. You got to fight length with length.
You got to be able to get off and fight length with length. Very good, Andy.
Yeah.
Well, can we get to draft scenario two here?
Yes. Well,
there was a second.
We wanted to analyze the first one.
You wanted to give you an either or.
Okay. So recap. It is Kerrigan, Wilkerson, a lineman, and Thomas.
Yeah, and then possibly adding a veteran deep threat.
I believe Watkins.
Okay. Now go.
All right.
Scenario two.
Scenario two is you get the pass rusher still available at 17, knowing the more elite players may be gone.
Told you, Paul.
Now you got them all nervous.
No, I'm trying to fix things here. I see what
you're
Fred
doing a fine
through.
Job.
You trade the 28th pick to San Diego for their 2 second rounders and the 33rd pick to the Jaguars for their first rounder next year so that they can take a QB.
There's too many trading scenarios.
You now have 3 second rounders left to use and the 2 third rounders
like
still left. You can project your own picks at those spots because
I like the first one better.
I like the first one better. I like the higher.
Plus, you didn't give me who we're taking even at 17. You said the fallback option. Well, is that Kerrigan?
A pass rusher.
But is it Kerrigan?
I don't know. He took a shot at Eric, and I was trying to get it in there before you.
Okay, go to the shot at Eric because you failed miserably on that draft.
Just like Eric, I don't know the draft well enough to accurately predict realistic players at their spots. Love
well
you
done.
Guys, especially Fred, Dave, and England.
Yeah,
well done,
no,
Dave.
I think, Dave, sorry for
the way it was read.
I think Dave did a good job of kind of projecting where those players, you know, in the areas that they're going to be selected. I think he didn't give himself enough credit.
And thanks to TG and NJ, according to NFL.com, Kyle Eckel is with the Broncos.
The Broncos. All right.
Active? Or?
Maybe they signed him at the end of the year.
Reserve military suspended. I don't know.
Is he suspended?
I don't know.
Was he suspended?
Didn't he have an issue?
I think he did, though.
He's not reserve military anymore, is he?
I don't know.
I'm
just throwing it out there.
Speaking of reserve military, evidently our boy is eligible to come off that now.
Catani.
Eric Catani.
Yeah. Woohoo!
All right.
So now the backfield's got three.
We have three in that committee.
Is Thomas Clayton still here, too?
Oh, yeah.
I like him.
I don't.
He's a fallback option.
What does that mean?
What?
That face you just made.
He's not really a fallback option.
Okay.
He can lead your team in rushing in the preseason, maybe.
He has a lot of experience doing that.
He can tell us tales of UFOs for Eric Features. That was him, right?
I didn't read that one.
He once saw a UFO off the back of a cruise ship.
I don't read most of Eric's stories.
You're lucky. I have to.
Off the back of a cruise
us
ship.
Editors have to.
And take, how do you know he
and
wasn't
try to
on,
take
like,
out 10% of the
you know
pomposity
he wasn't
in his writing?
And it was just an airplane or something.
You don't.
Yeah,
you
that's
don't.
The thing.
It's just a tale.
You could have been doing that whole Titanic thing, you know, hanging over the edge and just hallucinated.
Yeah, but all these tales of aliens and UFOs, there's some.
Yeah, did you hear about that? The FBI supposedly released those papers that the whole Area 51 thing was true, and they released documentation to it.
No.
And then it was on.
Would have thought that would have made a bigger splash.
That's what I thought, but then it was on some.
Does Chris McKendry have like a birthmark on her boob?
Chris McKendry's boob was on TV.
I don't know, there's something there.
Oh, there it is.
What is that thing?
Yeah, what is that?
Or is it a shadow?
I don't know. But anyway.
This is great radio.
Craig and
Fred
Ottawa
leaves and we fall apart.
But it's not even like a hot woman that we're like, what's on her
boob? Wow, that was a shot, Paul.
Well, what? She's not.
She's not
well,
hot.
Well, I know, but you didn't
she's
have to
a,
say
a,
that.
A fine
Sports Center anchor.
And wife, if she's
yeah,
in
like,
her late 40s,
she's like
right?
Linda Cohn. You know?
Oh, I think Linda, that's disrespectful to Chris McKendry.
You think Linda Cohn's hot?
No.
No, I was going to say.
That's why it's disrespectful to Chris McKendry.
Yeah. I guess.
You're going to read emails. You're dragging us down.
All right, Craig and Otto.
Thanks, Paul. This was a great idea to have him read emails and be a big part of the show.
Yeah, shut up.
Hey, guys. Been a while since I've written in because of the new schedule at work. Seems like our team is one of the youngest in the league with the most depth. We had a third-round pick redshirt last year and went 14-2, and we got six picks in the top 100. Do you feel that if this draft is productive, that we will win the Super Bowl within the next 2 years? If we stayed where we are, I would like to see us draft Ryan Kerrigan at 17, Danny Watkins at 28, and Ingram at 33. Aaron Bailey at 60 is the last one he has here. I would like to hear your thoughts, Craig in Ottawa.
I'm okay, since that's the draft Paul and I put together for NFL.com.
What about his Super Bowl question, since Eric thinks we're never going to win one ever again?
If they have a great draft, yes, I think they'll go to the Super Bowl in the next short period of time.
To me, it all comes down to a very simple point. They've done a lot of work over the last two seasons, three seasons, trying to completely transform the defense. If they've made the right calls to kind of compound on Andy's point about if they have a great draft right now, well, if all the guys they've taken, you know, Chung, Cunningham, Mayo, McCourty, you know, Butler, Brace,
G-Force,
all of these. No, I'm talking just the defensive guys.
Oh, brace yourself.
If all of those, enough of those guys are the real deal. We saw McCourty have an absolutely outstanding season. If that's the norm, if Mayo is going to continue to get better and that's the norm and Chung can stay healthy and make the plays, yes, they can win the Super Bowl. It's all to me about the defense. The defense has to get better, more consistent, and if they can play championship level defense in the playoffs, they certainly have Tom Brady playing at a high level and they can win it all.
See, I agree with most of what you said, Paul, but I don't know. I just, the way that they struggled to move the ball in the Jets game last year and the fact that Branch is another year older, Welker's another year older, I just feel like they need, and at running back, nothing like overwhelms you.
Okay, here's the thing, and this is the reason why I feel like this. They have won all kinds of playoff games playing offense at a level at or below what they played against the Jets.
True, I agree with that.
And the reason that they won all those games was the defense was playing playoff football. In the last 3 or 4 years, they haven't been able to do that. And when the offense has had a bad game in the playoffs, and they absolutely had a bad game.
Yeah.
They did not play well against the Jets. The Jets defense controlled the game after the first two series when the Patriots moved the ball
yep.
reasonably well. To me, if the defense is there to support that and make plays and pick up the offense, you win.
Yeah.
Especially at home. They never would lose at home that in, you know, the good old days. And that's why I feel like if this defense gets better, I think they are championship caliber because I think that they have an offense that will put the team in position to be in the playoffs, to have home games, and be in a solid spot when, you know, get a first round bye, and get all that stuff. They can't win it all unless the defense gets better.
I agree with most of what you said, and I definitely think the defense needs to get better. But if you're going to use Brady as like the linchpin of the team and say he's your best player and he's most definitely your best player on offense, he can't do it by himself. He needs people to throw the football to. And I mean, if Branch and Welker can't get open and Tate is running circles down the field, I mean,
yeah, that,
where
that,
are you going to go
listen,
with it?
Listen, that happened against the Jets. No question. I can't argue with you.
And I think
that's
a decent defense
those
can
Those guys
make that
weren't
happen.
Getting open against the Jets. Well, they played some decent defenses during the season, and they got open.
Okay.
They didn't get open against the Jets in the playoffs.
Pittsburgh's a good run defense.
They're a pretty good defense. As much as everybody likes to say their corners stink, and they do, they're always a good defense. It
Paul
starts
not.
Up front, but they're a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they...
They have the two elements of two of three you need, basically. Stop the run, pressure the quarterback,
yeah.
cover.
Yeah.
They have elite stop the run and pressure the quarterback.
Which makes right. the covering easier.
Which makes the cover better.
Yeah.
Right, and what happens, I think, when they play the Patriots is generally teams that just put a lot of pressure in the passer aren't able
right.
to really do that against the Patriots
some reason,
consistently.
James Harrison, like Sean Merriman, is dropping into coverage all the time.
So we gotta... I think that they can be. I think it just depends on how good these defensive players turn out to be.
Do you think if they improve on defense the way that we're hoping they will, if the offense comes back in contact as it was constituted last year, for all intents and purposes, most of the impact...
Yeah, some long sentences.
No, most
with
of...
these prepositional phrases, you're like, another one? Really? Another one?
In contact.
No, most of the impact pieces still in place from last year. Same receiving core. Do you think that they can be competitive enough to win a Super Bowl?
Yes. Well, they need more running backs. Andy made that point earlier in the show.
I think they need
You're not going to go in with just Benny.
They have a receiver.
Benny and Woodhead is your only two running backs.
His name is Taylor Theodore Price.
I'll hold you to that.
I think there's a chance he's going to be an impact player on this offense in that on the field, help the offense.
They need another receiver. You're not wrong about that. They're going to fight. You know, Branch and Welker could be in there last year as Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not saying it needs to be a huge splash at receiver, but I think they need a dependable receiver.
So Taylor Price.
Okay.
But
Givens 2.0.
I do think
that would
they
be
have,
great if he turned
well,
out to be that.
I don't mean
great.
In production, by the way. I just mean in the role I think he can fill.
Okay. Here's an Andy question from TG and NJ.
Okay,
hey,
bring
Andy,
it.
What do you got on Marcus Cannon, offensive tackle from TCU?
What do I have on Marcus Cannon?
I don't know about Marcus Cannon because I don't watch offensive
line. Huge! That was my first note.
That's what you wrote? You made fun of me for that.
Surprising for a guy who's 6'5", 358. That is indeed a big dude. Athletic for his size, though. Moved from right tackle to left tackle as a senior. I think he may be a guard at the NFL level because he can be beat pretty easily by speed from what I saw. Something that's not readable.
That's a big guard.
Can certainly move people, as he should, being 6'5", 358 pounds. And is he athletic enough to pull, question mark? he got an East
I'm
arrow.
Ron Burgundy.
I don't think he's as good as... my notes here tell me NFL Draft Scout had him rated as a second-round pick. That might be a little high on him for a guy changing positions and who I have some questions about. He might be a big tweener. Too big to be a guard, not athletic enough to pull, but not athletic enough to play the edge at tackle. Maybe a right tackle prospect. But I certainly, the pure physical, he's a guy you'd say, okay, I'd give him a chance because not a lot of 6'5", 360-pound people on the planet.
Yeah. I mean, no question, but that is the definition of a big dude, as I termed.
I mean, that's...
Janelle Jenkins, I think, was the guy. The Clemson defensive lineman, I think. So
sure.
Something like that, sure. And you laughed at me.
Sure. Yeah, but when I say it, it's more of a scouting term.
We're never going to get through these emails.
Not with you reading this slowly.
First of all, there's like 2 minutes left in the show.
Another hour?
No, I know, it stinks. We have We have over 20 emails left in the...
He usually wants to do another hour. See how much he hates you?
Yeah, he does. Well, my dad was right. He hates me.
He does. And it seems personal. Like, for me, it's a shtick.
It really
is. It's just part of the show. I make fun of... If you could go back 10 years and listen to Gary...
Jarvis, I make fun of whoever is
behind the glass.
My mom got sick. She's in the hospital. Paul's bashing on me. My dad's listening.
First of all...
Your mother better not really be sick.
Well, she fell at school on Friday. And she's in the hospital.
That ain't right. We don't bring that onto the air and make jokes about it.
He really is.
I'm just trying to make Paul feel bad. That's all.
You shouldn't be trying to do that.
Okay.
I mean, look at him. If he doesn't feel bad about his self-image, then nothing's ever going to make him feel bad.
You're the only one who gets any criticism on the show.
Why don't you read one more email before we call it?
All right.
Do we have time? We only have 3 minutes.
Well, Fred usually quits.
That's your ally, by the way.
Fred usually quits 2 minutes. He's been quitting 2 minutes.
All right. We're going to go long and strong here today.
Especially after that push-up contest. He was just out of gas and ended the show.
Well, his head was purple for like the next 3 days.
And he would have sworn on the air because he was really angry, saying, I cheated.
All right.
He's convinced that you cheated.
He really is. But he has swayed public opinion so that they're convinced I cheated.
I only have
How
one
could
regret.
I cheat when I didn't count?
I only regret that I wasn't actually watching your side.
I wasn't watching me, though.
Yeah, but I like to have an opinion.
And by the way, I would like to point out, if Eric didn't think I was doing proper push-ups, he should have said something in the top five. Because you know what? There's no doubt in my mind I could do push-ups with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 count and still beat Fred. But it's the job of the judge to tell the person you're not doing them right, right?
That's correct, but Andy is your combine buddy, and I'm not sure he would have disagreed with you.
Yes, he would. I hate him, and he hates me. He should have.
Hate such a strong
word,
Andy.
The way Eric wanted to do the contest, it would have taken forever, because it was having Andy do one, then
right,
Fred.
One,
no,
one,
that
two,
was,
two,
that
three,
was,
three.
That's
the old ladder.
That was Andy's thing. You wanted to do the ladder.
It's an old training tool.
I don't think it would have taken forever.
I think for all intents and purposes, Andy made his point the way we did it.
Oh, I made my point. I kicked ass and took names.
All depends if you were really doing push-ups.
I was really doing push-ups.
Anyway, Owen in Belfast, Ireland. Hey, Team PFW, what do you guys think of Baylor offensive lineman Phil Taylor? I know he is projected as a nose tackle, but could he play 3-4 at end?
Does it say offensive lineman or defensive lineman?
Defensive lineman. My bad.
He is a defensive lineman. I think he can, and Andy agrees, play end as well in the Patriots 3-4.
He's tall.
Even though he's 335-some-odd pounds, he's another big dude. Yeah, 6'4", I think. He might be a little too tall to play nose tackle.
Chop him down. Lumberjack blocks.
But I like him. He's another athletic big guy who can move.
Thought 6'3 and 2, whatever the decimal is.
Okay, so he's not quite 6'4", but still.
I called him a sideline-to-sideline nose tackle, and I don't call a lot of people that.
No.
I call Vince Wilfork one of those.
Vince Wilfork would be one. Maybe he could fit in as a nose tackle. I think he also could play some end for you. And
like Vince Wilfork.
I like his lateral quickness and his ability to plug the middle.
Why don't we just get three
impressive
guys that can play all
you know
three spots and just move
them
around every
snap? We want all these guys from Baylor. They don't win any games, but we want their players.
Yeah, he had the most tackles by a nose tackle since Ethan Kelly.
Ethan Kelly.
Former Patriot.
Correct.
Still on the Browns? Went for the Browns.
All right, so what do we got coming up? We have a draft prospect review.
Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
Lots of stuff
Wednesday
on the blog.
Show.
And we'll be back on Thursday with another edition of PFW in Progress, another very special edition. But before that, the blog tonight, the NFL schedule will be announced on Patriots.com, so you want to be on the website. Andy Hart will have a quick recap of the schedule available.
Paul will have analysis.
We'll have to figure out what we're going to do.
That sounds like Paul will not have analysis.
No.
Paul's debating.
I was planning on doing something.
Yeah, I thought we tag-teamed it last year.
Well,
we definitely have
Inside the Draft Room tomorrow at noon with B-Lo, okay, and we'll have Rob Rang on.
Oh, the Ranger.
The Ranger.
You make sure
excellent.
You tell him Andy Sart. Andy Hart said
I will
hello.
Tell him that.
He is one of the best.
Thanks to Andy, we have him, so I will pass that along.
See you next Thursday.
This Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.